gentlemen, I'm hoping today is the first big show of 2020 because, you know, we did that one show on Thursday, the 2nd.
Yeah.
Because we record on Thursdays, and it was
a little messy.
A little laggy.
I thought it was messy.
Well, it was kind of messy, too, but it was our first day. So the Drew and Mike show is back for the big show. That means everyone should listen, and I'm taking it out on the people who are listening, which doesn't make any sense. And we're all ready to go, and we have a new sponsor, Lover's Lane. And I'm putting them in the Facebook position because Lover's Lane now has three ways to shop for all your sex essentials, 35 store locations, loverslane.com. Is that what we're looking at, or are we looking at sexdrive.com?
Well, sexdrive.com is pretty solid, man.
Pretty hot.
Yeah. Except for that one page Brandon went to with the guy's section. But I guess some guys are into that.
And everybody's going, oh, wow, look at that. Oh, regular, really hot girls. And all of a sudden, oh, God! So there's a hole for this guy's wiener, and his wiener's sticking out.
That would be the cockatoo thong.
I don't know. I guess people like them.
It doesn't seem very functional.
I'm gonna knock it. I mean, if you buy stuff from Lover's Lane, I'm happy.
I think any woman would look really hot in this stuff, in almost any of it.
Yeah, those outfits are great. And the women are, I mean, they're more regular, but damn, they look hot.
Yeah.
Loverslane.com or the all-new sexdrive.com. Sexdrive.com features high-quality sex toys, vibrators, fun and exciting couples toys, and the most erotic apparel anywhere. Try something new in the bedroom. Celebrate the new year. Check out sexdrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane. They do have, I like the, you know, some sites you go to and it's like, oh, what's all that crazy crap?
Too much stuff?
It scares me. It frightens me.
Like that stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, any, I don't know. I like Lover's Lane, though. They've got the real, I mean, oh, go ahead. Okay, boomer me. They have mainstream hot stuff. The stuff that's always been hot and always will be hot.
I like that weird video clip Brandon showed me earlier.
Oh, no.
What's that?
I don't know. It's some weird jet.
Brandon.
You're playing that people
what's
don't.
What's going on? What has opened up over there? I'm fighting even ass.
All right. So somebody sent me, one of the listeners sent me something really weird today on Facebook Messenger. And it's just this video of this Asian woman, and she's got, you know what?
She has huge fake nipples on. And
are they fake?
Wait. Oh, what do you mean, are they fake?
I don't know. They look real.
So are fake nipples a thing?
Look at these things.
Oh,
they're like
it's like a beer can at the end of her nipple.
Exactly.
They got holes in them, and then as the video progresses, people put things, they put things inside those nipples, and then she starts
crying. I can tell this is going to be fun.
Wait, I apologize for starting the show this off.
So her nipple aperture is large enough to shove things in there? Is that the idea?
No, they're fake.
Oh, boy.
I mean, is there such thing as... All right.
This is a crystal porno alert.
Ooh, la, la.
There's some porn coming.
Skanky, disgusting porn is coming soon, Crystal.
Hands up, Crystal.
Oh.
Fucking shoot.
Ooh, la, la.
So Drew just saw the gist of the video where...
What? That wasn't enough to have those beer can nipples? They had to have that?
They had to put something inside of them, two dudes on either side,
Is that a good use of the internet? I'm just wondering. Is that really?
So thanks, Jeff, for sending me this randomly.
Need to be taking up space. Flying around there along with memes between Iran and the United States.
I was going to start with football, but since you mentioned good use of the internet, I'll just start with... I hope to get through this quickly. The U.S., United States of America, our embassy in Baghdad gets stormed.
Mm-hmm.
And... they let it happen, and of course we rush in there and
these cutters don't run.
Take care of it as best we can, and then Trump decides, you know, I'm going to pile on a little bit, and he
pile on a little bit. I could see him saying that.
Well, I'm
ready for a bomb.
I'm sort of trying to think of it in Trump speak. No, it's like he's one of those guys that, you know, it's not enough to get even. He wanted to get more than even with Iran. And honestly, I don't. This bullshit of storming. Do we ever storm anybody's embassy?
No, it's total bullshit. So but they did present him with like six options, and he allegedly went, "What's the worst one?" They're like, "Well, this one. I'll do that." And they're like,
"Reminds me of the Simpsons movie. I choose B." You haven't even seen it. B.
well, hey,
so far, so good. It took out this guy, Qasem Soleimani. Is that how you say it?
Sure, whatever.
He's supposed to be the second most powerful man in Iran. Mm-hmm. He's leaving the airport.
Who's that dude?
They've got a car ahead of him in his car, and they just nail both of them. You know, see ya!
250-mile-an-hour missile.
That was so surgical. It was just, boom, done.
He had no idea.
And that's one of the reasons that you have to at least respect it. It worked. And, I mean, it sounds badass and all that. And I don't like seeing people die, but then I'm, you know, I'm kind of, I don't want to deep dive on this.
I don't really care if he dies. I'm just going to say that.
But I find out that he's a terrorist, yeah. That most people in Iran are glad he's dead. Some people are even dancing about it, which, why do people dance?
I don't know. They love dancing.
They do. They also love, you know, the whole Death to America. Do they have copyright on Death to America?
Now, see that.
Death to.
That one's a pretty catchy chant, I would think, Death to America. But
I guess, why don't we ever chant Death to Iran over here, though?
Well, I'm wondering if there's a translation issue. I mean, is it really like we want you to die, or is it could be translated somewhere?
Oh, I think it's Death to America.
It's Death to America. It's pretty clear.
I can tell by the way they look.
But the other chant, America is the great Satan, it doesn't really, I think a marketing department would, turn that one down. It just doesn't flow.
But Death to America, that's what we're getting copyright for. And then the effigies, too. They lead the league in effigies every year.
It must be a prerequisite. You have to take paper mache in high school over in Iran. They're really good at
making. They got a lot of people that make some great paper mache
effigies. Arts and crafts department of their military.
And they know how to light them up. Do a hell of a job. So anyway, I'm thinking, well, you know, it seems a bit much. Killed a couple people. It's an assassination, basically. But he was a terrorist. So
but it is worth noting that several people in Iran, they revere this guy. He had the funeral, and a ton of people showed up. No. In fact, here's some audio from it.
Well, they were fucking great guys, and this is a fucking asshole of a day.
So we got to remember, more than one guy did die.
I know. That's another thing, Brandon. They said some very other important people died. I'm like, no, they didn't, because we don't know any other names,
no.
Nor do we care to hear them.
I haven't even heard their names.
No, the chauffeur died with them.
But that's the thing. It's like, you know, you're watching this thing.
Died.
You already know people are upset, and some people are happy. The Democrats particularly are bitching. Republicans are saying, hey, that's great. Which, you know, tells me it's like, wait a second. This can't possibly be another thing where only Democrats don't like it and only Republicans like it. I mean, why is everything have to be so damn partisan?
It reminds me of, remember when he just decided to launch those bombs against Syria?
Yeah.
Because those beautiful children.
Uh-huh.
I believe it happened on 4/14/18, maybe because that was when my daughter was born and that's what was on the TV. But nothing became of that. And there was all this uproar.
And people were crying. Alex Jones was crying. He was crying, and I'm like, wow, what did we do? I don't even understand what happened here. I have no idea what the occasions are.
So you told me we wouldn't be going back.
We made so many sacrifices.
And then like a week later, where did we bomb again?
No one knows.
No one knows.
No one remembers it.
So anyway, this thing with Iran. Again, I'm just going, a terrorist. He sounds like a really bad guy. I wonder why he's the second most powerful guy. That doesn't seem right either. So, and why are all these people so mad about it? What, they're mad because they like terrorists? And then you look at the funeral. Mm-hmm. Never has there been so many people condensed in such a small area. They're all crying and carrying on. This ragtag pile of people are just so angry about it. I'm like, wait, we killed a terrorist. What, you like this terrorist?
Serious issue, Shayla thought. The funeral procession for Soleimani.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the video, right?
I saw some video.
If Trump really wanted to start a war against Iran, he probably would have shot a missile at that bridge because you would have taken out maybe 2 to 3 million people.
That would have been ugly.
There were so many people.
He didn't want to die.
There were so many people on that bridge.
I mean, I don't know. When people are that upset, and they really, truly look upset over a terrorist dying, you know, what do they talk about? They go,
it's not
man,
bad.
I'll never forget that suicide bomb back in the, you know, it's back not, in 99.
Are you talking about the Iranians that are upset? Or
the
Americans?
Iranians.
Well, they don't care.
The Iranians.
It's good for the Death to America brand.
I know. It's
bad.
It's just,
no, it's bad. That's why they're upset. It's bad for the Death to America brand.
As someone who thinks they can understand things, if I do a little homework, I did a little homework, and the first thing I'm like, oh, we killed a terrorist. And then it's like, oh, wait, he's the second most powerful man in the country. Why is a terrorist the second most powerful man in the country? And then,
it's crazy.
You know, some people are really happy about it in Iran. And actually, more people are happy, I guess, than angry. But the angry people are really angry, and they're shouting Death to America. And I'm like, oh, man, this is just a lot to take in. Then the Twitter activity starts.
Awesome. Awesome. Can't this war just be fought on Twitter between them? Between Trump and Soleimani or whoever's running the Twitter account?
Oh, my God. These people. Okay, first of all, Colin Kaepernick. I wasn't expecting to hear from Colin Kaepernick, but he says, there's nothing new about American terrorist attacks against black and brown people for the expansion of American imperialism.
Boom! Hot take!
Now, that would have been a hot take. Wouldn't it around maybe 1920? 1910? 1860?
This is a retaliation, too. I don't know. We don't want to colonize.
Are we really imperializing people now?
No.
And is it really because they're black or brown? Isn't it because they're in Iran and Iran stormed our embassy?
Yes.
And also he's a terrorist?
Yes.
And they've also pissed off Donald Trump in the past by shooting down his drone. And then they've also been seizing all these oil tankers. And, you know, they're pissing off Trump. He's going to send a message. And this is what that message is.
I think it's just the fear of what's going to happen next. But no one knows.
And it's
certain.
The anti-Benghazi. Because in Benghazi, we lost that one dude.
You know, oh, I don't even want to get started on that. Yeah. No, I was hoping I could just kind of breeze through
Brandon.
This.
Sorry. No, I'm just saying the narrative.
Trump shoot Brandon down.
I saw the people on the right who were like, this is no Bengala.
Yeah, I know.
Why do people get so excited or have to make it political immediately?
Somebody has to win.
And so Rose McGowan, who is...
What did she say? I was on pins and needles.
Well, Rose McGowan is so level-headed. I couldn't wait to hear her analysis because she always has... a very even-handed touch when it comes to this sort of thing.
Once again, thanks a lot, Harvey.
Yes. She says, dear Iran, the USA has disrespected your country, your flag, your people. 52% apologize for this. We are now a terrorist regime.
Quiet.
Go back to whatever it is you were doing before, McGowan.
How is she apologizing on behalf? Did she really talk to 52% of the country?
No, I think she just made it up.
I think so. So then, if that wasn't enough, and I think, seems to me her history doesn't seem to stretch back to 1978, 79.
No.
Seems to have a little... Anyway, her next tweet was, I do not side with Iran, but I most definitely do not side with the USA! What?
I wonder if she watched, like, Argo this weekend or something.
No, I think she got... hammered for the first tweet.
Yes, she did.
So she was giving a little ground and saying, nah, because people were going, saying, you know, why don't you move to Iran, bitch? In fact, I know they were.
I kept seeing the ones like, hey, why don't you show up to Iran wearing the outfit you're wearing in your profile picture? You'll be stoned to death.
Not to mention that she is she bisexual? What is, I mean, I know she's in LGBTQ there somewhere. And I really don't care. I'm happy if she's enjoying her best life. But there's a death penalty for consensual homosexual activity in Iran.
Yeah.
So I don't know that she really would like Iran that much. I don't know if she wants to side with them all that much. But no more voice for you, Rose McGowan. No more voice. I think Colin Kaepernick's worn out his voice, frankly.
Kind of has. Although he hasn't been doing it as often, I guess. I mean, Rose has always been front and center. Just nice to know all the world's problems can go back to Harvey Weinstein's dick again.
I don't like telling people to stay in their lane, but I feel like Colin Kaepernick's got a little off track here. I mean, he has a big lane already.
Maybe he watched Argo this weekend. You don't know.
All right, great. Great football. But first, I got to tell you, you've probably already heard the infamous Jim Bentley is now slinging rides with our friends and studio sponsors at Zot Ford and Holly. Bentley, finally sick of transporting his children around in the dilapidated death trap, and decided the best way to get a new Ford was start selling them himself. Plus, we all know Mrs. Bentley wears the pants in the house, makes all the financial decisions. Therefore, Bentley's only chance at a new car was getting a job where he gets one for free at Zot Ford. Speaking of Mrs. Bentley, the original Mrs. Bentley, that is, Jim's mom.
Hi, Mommy.
Jim's mom is so happy that Jim is gainfully employed and has high hopes that Jim will soon get off her cell phone plan and get his own phone plan like a big boy. If you want a newer pre-owned ride and you'd love it to be simple, fun, fast, and easy, all the while busting Bentley's balls in person, go see Jim Bentley and our friends at Zot Ford and Deals in the D.com. And I understand he's already sold some cars.
So, yeah, hi, Jim. Thank you.
Things are moving along nicely. And, the new My Bookie copy. Okay. Christmas is come and gone, but the Super Bowl is quickly approaching. We've seen just what our teams are capable of this season. Now it's time to get your last bets in before the big bowl. Will the Ravens be able to get it done? Will Brady and Patriots will not get another ring.
The new copy's already bad.
Yes, it's soured. By the way,
Brandon, there was no lock of the week last week.
I know. I listened back and I said, oh my God, I never threw it out. It was probably going to be something regarding Devin Singletary, but.
A lot of paychecks were not doubled. It would have been doubled if you had done your lock of the week. What would have been your lock of the week? Do you know?
Actually, like right when you brought it up, I was looking and I was like, I have no idea which one to go to. And then I think it escaped my mind, so I apologize. I'm going to definitely have a great lock of the week this week. Mm. You're going to make a lot of money off it. Your count is
I'm trying to win $600.
Speaking of which, I got to log in just to see because that Devin Singletary money.
Oh, the bets, yes. The calculated. I've got a feeling they're going to be sending a Brinks truck over here when the Devin Singletary move in here. This bet has been more ballyhooed than any bet, prop, or otherwise I've ever heard of. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Read the rules on the promo code MATCH. Just use promo code DREW to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code DREW to get your extra cash from MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid. They got the fastest payouts, best promotions, a very helpful 24/7 customer service team. So there you go. Parlays, all kinds of ways. We've got to get Patrick Parlay back in play. My first football note. I thought it was a great weekend of football.
It was.
You know, it's not a sports podcast, but how can you ignore something? I mean, the NFL ratings are up this year, too.
Sure. It was a good season.
It was a good season. It has been.
This weekend's been great. Two overtime games so far.
But I want to start with this. I'm upstairs getting ready for the show, and Mark comes up. And just wants to note that Janoris Jenkins, who we've been kind of joking around about, that he recovered a fumble for the Saints. And I don't know how much we talked about Janoris. Did he just haul off and call someone a retard in a tweet?
On Twitter, yeah.
Okay. So the Giants, you know, who are terrible, said, hey, listen, you know you can't say that. Just if you issue an apology, that'd be great. And he said, no, I'm not issuing an apology. That's a word we use in the neighborhood, and that's not what it means. Which had me wondering, like,
what neighborhood is he living in?
Does retard mean Mensa where he grew up? I mean, what?
Who knows?
Exactly is that.
Wow, what a decision to not apologize.
So anyway, I just automatically went into play-by-play, there's Janoris Jenkins as, boy, I tell you, flinging retard out there was the best thing for Janoris' career. So he'd be done for the season, but here he is recovering a fumble in the playoffs.
And then Troy Aikman breaks down the word. Well, in the past, we used to say it all the time, and you never said it to someone who was that.
You know, some dope in second grade or whatever.
It was more about knocking down somebody than making fun of a mentally challenged person.
Thank you, Troy. Retard gate certainly worked out well as Jenkins, who again refused to apologize for calling someone retarded. Janora says, I called him retarded because he is a retard. It's all in the context.
And Joe, if you look at the crowd here, this guy's won. This guy's won. This guy you would not say that to. As he just circles people's faces.
It's all in the context, Mr. General Manager. That's what Jenkins tried to say anyway. Giants release him. Hey, I guess I don't care if Daniel Jones fires a retarded Hail Mary, huh?
Jesus.
And the Saints apparently are thinking, retard, who dat? We need a good defensive back, and that's Janoris Jenkins falling on that fumble right there. And the Saints crowd cheers on the newly acquired Jenkins. Retard, schmetard. Okay, first and 10, everybody.
I work with retards.
I'm really upset that Antonio Brown thought he did such a good job getting out of Oakland by acting like an asshole.
Janoris Jenkins,
getting off of your team and improving your situation, MVP, is Janoris Jenkins this year.
Why would, I'm kind of surprised they signed him. Did he apologize?
No, he never did. But that, it kind of goes to show that they really were interested in Antonio Brown. And they would have no problem signing Antonio Brown. It wasn't just a publicity stunt.
Okay, I get confused about this. And I don't want to go on and on and on about it again. But the other day, we talked about how on New Year's Eve, Anderson Cooper says cock on CNN. And it had been described and bleeped in the conversation previously. He went out of his way to say it.
Yeah.
And I just felt like,
he's not going to ask me who has the biggest cock in Hollywood, is he?
I thought, surely he's going to apologize because they were kind of bombed. Mm. And then it turns out, no, he doesn't. And it's gone away.
Is he playing for the Saints now?
Well, we know the Saints would pick him. Anderson Cooper doing play-by-play now with Janoris Jenkins on color.
They're just like anybody who's got a shock mouth.
Can you believe that cock fumbled the ball?
Okay, what? Second down and nine.
Anyway, I just thought that was really odd that he wouldn't even apologize. I mean, it seems Anderson Cooper liked to do it.
I'm glad he did.
Yeah, it's almost like, yeah, I kind of, no,
it's not like I was upset either, but I just felt like, now you know if somebody else said it. And the same thing with Janoris Jenkins.
Who's the anti-cock contingency, though? It's like, you can't say that word. Only I can say that word.
I'm trying to figure out, because this troubles me sometimes. I try to figure out, wait, why is this a huge deal and this isn't a huge deal? Mm-hmm. And you know, the R word with Janoris Jenkins, I think I've said retired enough today already about play-by-play. With Janoris Jenkins, I feel like, why did that get let go? He never apologized. So, in other words, the Saints said, hey, you're right, Janoris. It has a different meaning in your neighborhood, so we're going to sign you over here. I've heard other people have used that word, and they have really, really had to apologize.
I assume the penalty was that he got cut by the Giants, and then he gets rewarded by the
But he never Saints. Apologized.
No, I know, but is the NFL going to action, put action on that? Now, they almost have to with Antonio because of the legality.
Yeah, and Antonio Brown, there's another one, but I think we've got the Antonio Brown thing down.
Sure.
He really is
there's legalities.
Sort of like, with Antonio Brown, isn't sort of like Trump. He said so many crazy things that nobody cares about him saying no more white women, but he keeps saying it over and over.
Yeah.
Now, if Antonio Brown, I'm assuming,
check Janoris Jenkins' Twitter. Maybe he's throwing the R word out today. Maybe he's using it left and right.
Well, I think he should use it if it means something else. He should sort of use
maybe
it a lot
to
sort of
he'll get picked up by the Vikings or something. Now he's going to keep using it until he's on a Super Bowl team.
Ravens pick him up. If the Vikings are out,
it's the magic word to get yourself a Super Bowl or stands for ring. Now
we need to activate the ABNN because there has been an emergency.
This here is breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news. And shit.
Booming.
How does he end up in the news every day we do a show?
I don't know. Because he's always creating he's a content creator.
He is. He is that. And honestly, it does seem that the bar is so low with this guy. I mean, you know, I could add this to the No More White Women 2020, which he said multiple times. He called the Raiders GM a cracker. And, you know, again, I'm not one of these people that's crying over it or something. Oh, my God, it's so upsetting as a white person. But it just seems like that would get you in trouble. And threatening to beat up the general manager, too. Did he threaten him physically? Punch him?
For what general manager?
Well, he retweeted.
The Oakland GM.
Yeah, retweeted.
I think that was in front of teammates, though. And, you know, honestly, I think the bar is just so low for him. And plus, he's so good. He's such a great player.
Yeah.
If he was a special teams player, we wouldn't even be hearing the shit he's saying. It's just that he's a great player. He's a really great player. So the latest is he put out a little
clip. And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
From his upcoming album, I guess?
Yeah, that he's been teasing it.
Or at least his single.
Okay, and then the single came out on Friday.
Okay, so it's just a teaser of it. It's AB, whole lot of money.
More content, Mark.
What?
It sounds like Cardi B, doesn't it? Music.
Is it going to be called Whole Lot of Money?
I think so.
It sounds like a number one hit tune, all right.
Yeah. He's going to be...
Suck.
How many streams? I'm frightened to ask.
200,000 right now.
That's not that much.
It's not.
How many downvotes? He's got half as many downvotes as he does upvotes.
2,800 upvotes, 1,400 downvotes.
You know, I feel I'm so...
1,401 now.
I'm so confused being a baby boomer these times, and I'm just barely a baby boomer.
Because of the music? That's modern, music today.
I'm not saying anything about the music. Here's a guy who takes pictures of his bank account.
Yeah.
and puts it on Instagram.
He's got a whole lot of money.
You got Cardi B and Outset, who show you a picture of the $500,000 that she gave him in cash in the refrigerator.
She's got a whole lot of money, too.
There used to be something called... what's the word I'm looking for? Not humility. Yeah, humility a bit. I don't know, wasn't bragging about having large sums of cash.
You don't remember that old ragtime ditty that the Vanderbilt family put out about all their money?
No, I don't.
What?
I don't.
On the old Victrola machine? On the Radiola?
Yeah, whatever.
It's just weird.
I guess, do people like that now? Do they like people bragging about how much money they have? Is that like in his,
I guess if you
his target world? Are they going, oh, wow, AB's got so much money and he's singing about it. How cool.
They've always flossed. There's always been a promotion of money in rap culture.
Yeah, and I get that. I mean, I get that in a way. I mean, I get how that works, and it's cool. I understand how that's cool, but
it's out of hand.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll leave it there.
Have you ever seen the Rich Kids of Instagram page?
Oh,
it's just
no.
An Instagram page that, you know, procures pictures of rich brats from their Instagram page.
Well, that sounds like a funny page, actually.
It is, but it's quite annoying seeing these brats, you know, flaunt all their money.
I know there's some strange things. I don't mean to be so heavy today. There's some strange things that people really seem to like now. Like, I've talked about how people seem to like lecturing.
Oh, yeah.
Telling on people and lecturing people, you know. And political correctness is where that's born. But, I always thought a lecture, you know, when I was a kid, it's like, oh, well, you lectured me for 10 minutes. That was the worst thing that could happen to you, was to be lectured about something.
Whatever happened, just say, not cool, man. Instead of getting someone in trouble.
Yeah, that's enough.
Just don't be an asshole and not cool.
So what are these? What's on these brats? I kind of want to see this Instagram page.
I don't know if it's how active it still is, Brandon, but Rich Kids of Instagram. You get ready to hate a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. And, well, you know, I guess that's something I thought about in 2020. I feel like I should hate less people in 2020 or spend less time hate listening, hate viewing.
Well, it's fun.
It's kind of fun.
Oh, look at those cunts.
Okay, yeah.
You see, so it's the Christmas tree on a Lambo. Look at that dork.
Okay, that putz is, 17 years old, and he's posing on his Lamborghini.
What's his caption say? Does it have a caption for it?
Let's see.
Read the comments, Brandon.
Cute. Look at all those decals.
Is anybody saying you spoiled piece of shit?
I just want to point something out here.
No, like, seriously, like, here's, I write you from Vietnam. I have a very difficult need for your help. My mom.
Oh, you might as well be.
Somebody's asking him for money.
Go outside and look in the sky and say the same thing.
Oh, man.
I do want to point out that car does not match that house. I would expect the owner of that car to have a much bigger house than that, don't you think?
Yeah, I think they're a little car rich, aren't they?
I'm going to burn up the rubber with my Lamborghini.
Here he is taking his Lambo through the McDonald's drive-thru.
Oh, with some hot piece of ass in the back. You bitch.
Oh, my God. Cool. She is hot. Cool. See, now I'm a little more interested.
Where are the girls? Is this his page? Are you on
his
page?
To be a little snobby, and I fall right back into the lowest common denominator.
So, yeah, the original caption for the photo that you wanted was... catch me touring the Fast and Furious location. Oh, so he's driving around in his car.
Neat.
Okay.
No, he's got a lot of money.
He's getting a lot of premature.
Well, he's got a whole lot of money, just like AB.
Yeah. Yeah, the girl's sitting on the back of his Lamborghini, and trust me, when he rolls down the window and looks back there, that's when he blows up. Because the guy looks like a complete tool. I don't even think that Lamborghini's going to get him laid.
Go back to the Rich Kids page, see if there's anything else. Oh, I got another rich kid to show you, too, by the way, from an ABC special on Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that. That's okay. We'll get to that.
Look at this bitch.
We have a boner line today, too. Oh, wow. Who's that?
I don't know.
Oh, some girl having breakfast.
Can you zoom in on that? See, again, it's a hot chick, so it's like, I don't care how much money she has.
Veronica Balick.
Meanwhile, the Maltese are sinking into the oceans.
Yeah, but I've got a million views, so that's okay.
Holy tits.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
Make peace with your broken pieces. That was the caption.
Oh, my God.
She's so deep.
Can't they leave these? Can't we take the keyboard out of Instagram somehow? I mean, it's really the picture, isn't it? We really need to see. I mean, because she probably thinks, wow, I got a million views, so that was really clever. No, it wasn't.
It's because you.
I'm going to make sure not to go back.
Huge boobs. That's why.
Dude.
Wow.
Oh, good for her.
And she's an She's an influencer.
Yeah. She's hot.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, if her boobs deflate, she won't be an influencer anymore. That's the weird thing.
Yeah. Or if she doesn't have a camera anymore, because no one wants to hear a thing she has to say. When is she going to have a podcast?
Oh, boy.
Imagine that chick doing a podcast.
Or a radio show. I could see her thinking that she should.
Oh, Lord.
Which reminds me, we got a nice plug on Who Are These Podcasts, which is a dynamite podcast. And those of you, many people have already checked it out. And I had There's a lot of sick people in our audience. Yeah. It's a hate listen. You'll listen to Carl and rotating guests basically tear apart a number of podcasts of well-known radio people.
I listened to the Mancow one.
Wow. Weren't you surprised how I mean, they really do a great job. They prepare very well.
Yeah, oh, listen to the Alex Jones one.
Oh, really? Oh, good. That one I'll love because I hate that dude. There's Alex Jones news, too, by the way.
Is there?
Yeah, you know how his Sandy Hook hearing is coming up?
Oh, yeah, he's got to pay their legal bills?
They've already ruled that, yeah, because they've been so slow on providing evidence and disclosure. He's already down $100,000 before the trial's even started. This is going to be his downfall, and I couldn't be more excited about it.
I get so confused sometimes about these platforms, and he's on radio. He's on traditional radio, the old technology. Now, he's also online, and I think a lot of his audience is online, isn't it?
Vast majority.
Because
after all, that's where you can go to the Alex Jones store and buy bone broth, boner pills.
You know, being the age I am and having taken classes in journalism and communications, when I did, when there was so much emphasis. all of it's out the window now. But there was so much emphasis on not getting something wrong that you needed two sources and, you know, check and double check. And, you know, because you could get sued for libel or slander. And then you see these social media platforms or platforms where, you know, people say, I mean, they talk out of their ass nonstop about well-known people, too. And millions of views hear this shit. I keep going back to the example where Spielberg's a pedophile.
Oh, yeah.
That guy who spent hours trying to tell people what a pedophile he was, had millions of views. And I thought, I can't believe you can't sue that guy. That just seems implausible. Maybe there's nothing you can sue him.
He believed it.
So to spend months talking about these people who didn't lose their children and the fake funerals and the fake videos, I just think that is not even close, and I'm just blown away. It's so disheartening to find out that there's so many fucking people, so many assholes too, who listen to this guy. And I don't blame you if you listen to him. If you listen to him and you're entertained, who cares? But listen to him and then go after these parents who've lost their kids in this mass shooting. I mean, honestly, I've read a lot about it, and it blows my mind. I'm like, are there really that many? There are.
Yeah. Oh, you want to? There's a story. I got to find it, but it was six conspiracy theories that had real life consequences. Like where they
nobody can stop them. They're having their way with America.
Where they acted upon some of the conspiracy theories.
Okay,
it's pretty wild.
Hold that thought, because I am interested. It seems that there's more. And Epstein is not dead. Did not kill himself.
That's not a conspiracy.
Can you play the audio, Brandon?
But he did kill himself.
No, it's not.
He so killed himself.
It's not a conspiracy theory because he didn't kill himself.
Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Please do it again, honey.
The perp. So proud of himself. What do you think for the Hall Financial Hotline today? I know there's a million things. We were off for 2 weeks.
We call the Spike
all this
King.
Stuff piles up. Oh, the Spike King. We should call the Spike King.
Make sure he's okay. There's also the hotel where Mama June tore up the room.
Oh, you know what? There's a.
If you saw that story.
I didn't see it, but I want
to
see it.
I'm worried about Mama June. She hasn't been talking to her family. She sold her house for cash.
I'm very concerned about her. So I don't think that's a bad idea.
We have culture we need.
Do we have her number or the hotel's number?
No one can find it. We have the hotel's number.
Okay.
It's a classy joint.
That's an important story. We're staying on top of that. Also, one of the worst people in the world is Janelle Evans from Teen Mom. She's worse. She's as bad as Farrah, I think. It depends. I hate the one that's on the screen now. I have to decide which one I hate the most, I decided that whoever's on TV now is the one I hate the most because they're just so eminently hateable. Well,
Janelle, I see you with Kifa.
Kifa. That's her mom. Barbara.
Barbara.
Janelle, I realize this is quite a non sequitur here. Janelle has three babies by three different baby daddies over the course of Teen Mom. So I don't think the important lessons of Teen Mom that they allege to be teaching us on MTV, that getting pregnant as a teenager is very irresponsible and you pay long-term, there's a lot of long-term costs and responsibility you have to. No, they all have been knocked up multiple times by multiple guys since.
And apparently you get a Cadillac, too, because they all drive Cadillacs.
It's the best thing that happened to you because you get on Teen Mom and you make a nice chunk of change.
That would be a better show if they, showed them actually getting pregnant.
So maybe we could find her new. She has a new boyfriend. She'll have a fourth baby daddy and a fourth baby pretty soon.
Can't wait.
He's in Boston.
That one's going to end well.
He installs water. Water meters.
Oh, meters. You're right. Meters? They were meters. Yeah.
But I thought we could call him up and make sure that he likes to know for the right reasons.
I'm locked in a custody battle at this time. Custody is trying to be forced upon me, which I don't think is right. You know, if you don't want the responsibility of children, you should be able to walk away from that.
There's so many dickbags on that show who actually just wanted to be on TV.
Yeah.
There's one guy who...
Except for Gary. Gary's authentic.
What's Gary's ex? Gary Amber?
Yes,
Amber. Fat slob? Okay. There's a guy named Matt who suddenly was her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And it turned out they figured out that, hey, this guy's been a huge Teen Mom fan. And then eventually it was determined Gary sent Amber, his ex, an email telling her that, by the way, Matt has five kids, not two, like he says.
That's Gary. He's all about the integrity of the show.
She chose to be mad at Gary, not Matt.
He's just trying to do what's right.
We love you, Gary!
It's Gary time, baby.
He did have five kids, and I think he owed child support in every case. And
what a catch.
No,
they're all catches.
They finally broke up. Anyway, Hall Financial, here we are in January. We've got 1,000 five-star ratings at Hall Financial. Mortgage interest rates remain as low as they've been at any point. And a lot of people are saying, did I miss the boat on refinancing to save some money? No. Rates remain super low. Hall Financial takes special care of the podcast listeners. We all know that. I got three or four. Remember when Jess, the sheriff, was pounding us for not having any referrals over the holidays last year? I was like, we're off. It's the holidays. We had seriously three or four people that refinanced during the holidays.
Is she off her back or she's, it's a new year?
I don't know. Jess has been really quiet. I don't know what's going on.
Nice.
I'm worried about her. Hall Financial also wants you to have
quiet Jess might be good.
Yeah, I prefer quiet Jess, although she was sending us big referral numbers all year long. Mm. So anyway, how'd you like to lower your mortgage payment now or maybe consolidate some credit cards that have rising debts with the holidays? This happens with people. I got a really nice email from somebody who owed a lot of money and they consolidated their debts and they paid them off. And by lowering their interest rates on the refi.
Yeah.
They were able to do this, and I don't think it cost them any money.
Good.
Yeah, no, it was quite brilliant.
Wow.
Very happy for him.
Good for you.
Total win-win. So here we go. Hall Financial, drewandmike.hallfg.com, or click the link on the Drew and Mike website. Fill out the online form. They'll get back to you, but fast, or 248-308-5000. David Hall Financial. Okay, football, I wanted to wind through that. I started with Janoris Jenkins, and retired. But kind of a sideways turn there. New England, I cannot believe they lost that game. They were at home.
Yeah.
They were on the 1 yard line.
They're a shell of themselves, though, man.
I guess the offense really is a shell of itself.
Who does he have to throw to?
Who is he throwing to? Edelman dropped a pass. Yeah. That's a guy you can count on.
Although he does have that Neil guy. I forget his
Harry.
Yeah. Keneal. What's his first name? Is it Keneal? Henry?
Harry?
Harry.
You know, it seems like it never matters who the receivers are usually. So his
age. He's just an average quarterback now. He's just a regular old NFL quarterback like anybody else.
Kind of.
Not the elite.
It kind of looked that way. Is Antonio Brown taunting the Patriots? He's got to be, right? On Twitter?
Yeah, he was live tweeting the game, wasn't he?
As if he could have helped them.
He might have helped him in
really
that game.
Think?
I don't know.
I guess I could have thrown him on that goal line stand.
He would be kicked off the team by now. Anyway, there's no way he'd still be on the team.
Yeah.
That's the brilliance of the Saints is to sign him right before the playoffs, so at least he plays in a playoff game.
He actually is saying in 2020 he only wants to play with Tom Brady, or he doesn't want to play at all.
Oh, I'm sure he doesn't
want to play. I'm sure Tom's thrilled about that.
Anyway, they...
Is that going to help teams sign Tom Brady because now they're going to be bombarded by Antonio Brown calling them?
You know, the Tom Brady story is interesting because look at what he's done, and he is a free agent. The Patriots could decide. They could decide to move on.
Yeah. They can't franchise him. They can't do any of that stuff.
You know what
they'd want to.
It reminds me of when the Bulls won their last championship. Remember Jordan won six times in six... Well, he sat out for 2 years.
Time, yeah.
Yeah, but it was basically six full seasons, six championships. And the Bulls decided, well, Jordan said, okay, if you don't bring Phil Jackson back, I'm not coming back. I'm going to retire. And they said, well, we're not bringing Phil Jackson back. We think it's kind of maybe hit that point. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And the Bulls went through that terrible stretch. And, you know, New England, now they did lose in the first round.
Yeah.
But I would understand if they said, do they have a backup that's like Garoppolo?
I don't know. I don't even know who their backup is.
We might need to call Spike King.
Just to find out what side he would stay on anyway.
Jared Stidham?
No idea.
I don't know.
Well, they'd acquire somebody. They'd pick somebody up. Or they'd draft somebody.
Will Brady come back for like $1 million? They'll just lowball him.
He probably would.
I think he would too.
They had a first down on the 1 yard line before halftime, and they were held for three straight runs. I couldn't believe they didn't throw one of those balls.
Too.
I was shocked. Yeah. So they kicked the field goal, which, I mean, if they'd scored that touchdown, they would have, well, theoretically been ahead 17-14 and won the game. Of course, million different things could have happened. But when the Titans were inspired by that defensive stand, and they rolled right down the field and scored a touchdown before the half. So it just didn't look like, it did not look like the old Tom Brady. It didn't look like the old New England Patriots. The Buffalo-Houston game was crazy.
It was great.
I'm still mad at the kickoff touchdown that wasn't ruled a touchdown.
Yeah.
Because he gave himself up.
But what a weird time to throw the flag.
When was it? Was that early in the game?
It was after they scored, they kicked off, and the guy caught the ball in the end zone, didn't take a knee, just flipped it to the ref, and the ref's like, hot potato! Got out of the way. And they jumped on it, and it was a touchdown going the other way. And they reviewed it and say that he gave himself up.
He did give himself. Come on.
No, I wanted that to be a touchdown.
Oh, that would have been cool.
It was so crazy.
Did he make a mistake? What did he do wrong, the guy catching the kickoff?
He didn't put his knee down?
He was 8 yards deep in the end zone as if he was going to return it anyway.
I know,
but it's funny watching the ref
put
go,
your knee down.
I'm not touching that ball.
Oh, man. So
the coverage by the broadcast team was great too, because they immediately went down to the sideline while it was all happening.
And
missed
she's
the whole
staring
play.
At it too.
She had no idea what was going on.
Who was on the sideline?
The great use of sideline reporters. Was it Lisa Salters?
Oh, I'm sure she was the best person to have there. Did she know the rule inside out?
No,
what did she say?
I don't think she had any idea what was going on. She just wanted to say what happened at halftime.
Kind of funny to review Lisa Salters.
I'll follow
and
me
see how she did with that
clip.
But that game was, the last quarter was just fantastic.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God, there were so many reviews, so many timeouts. Everything was taking forever. And I was fast-forwarding through it, and I was going, oh, my God, if I was watching this live, I 4 hours would have gone by in the fourth quarter and overtime. And Josh Allen was playing
great?
Like
don't
a man.
Love him?
I kind of like him.
Yeah.
The lateral as he's falling to the ground.
Crazy. It's crazy. I like it.
He also tried to jump over two defenders at one time, 5 yards shy of the first down.
Good. That's excellent.
But he's playing hard. I don't know. It's fun to see those teams in the playoffs. Haven't seen them in a long time.
Yeah, Buffalo's lost a bunch in a row now.
But my big sports
Here's the. Let me find that kickoff for you. I'm almost there.
Okay. Take your time. My biggest gripe, and I'm so. This makes me mad.
62 yards of offense in that first half.
The kickoff for the second half.
Low total for a half.
He has 8 yards in the end zone, throws it to the official.
Contest. Well, Bill O'Brien was not really in the mood.
Wait, she hasn't even noticed?
They're saying that's a live ball and a touchdown.
God, Tessitore sucks.
Let's check in with Lisa.
Yeah, Tess, well, Bill O'Brien was not really in the mood.
Whoa! They're saying that's a live ball and a touchdown. He doesn't take a knee and he throws the ball at the referee.
Wait, Lisa's right down there. What's Lisa saying?
After discussion, it's been determined that the runner gave himself up.
I think they just muted the mic on her. It is a touchdown. She's probably still giving her report of whatever Bill O'Brien said.
She never spoke on the subject. She's on the field.
No.
She just came back to say what the coach has told her.
She's upset that Tessitore interrupted her.
Okay.
Whoa! Still live ball!
The Saints game, I'm so mad because I want to see the Saints go a little further. The Vikings
beat
them.
I did until their mismanagement of the clock at the end of the fourth.
Yeah, they...
Now I wanted them to lose.
And Drew Brees had a big fumble, too. It hurt. But the Vikings beat them on a touchdown on the first possession of overtime, and I am so sick of that rule that if you score a touchdown, essentially, the coin toss won you the game.
Yeah.
What, in the playoffs?
Yeah, and if you kick a field goal...
We're talking playoffs!
I don't understand why every sport can have a full, overtime of some sort.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs!
You know, usually truncated, like, what's NBA, 5 minutes... NHL's
is hockey 5 minutes? And then they have a shootout?
Is it 10?
Is it 10 now?
Brandon, you're the hockey expert.
Isn't it 5?
Okay, it's 5. I was wrong.
So why not just play
7 minutes of overtime?
The last time this happened was when the Patriots beat the Chiefs in that great game.
Yeah.
And I remember so many people were pissed about it, and I thought, oh, sure, they're going to change that, because that is crap. It's the postseason. That was to get to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so it happens again. And so we got to watch Cousins. I know he's a Spartan, but...
Doesn't win the big games.
He seemed a bit overwhelmed. That's his first playoff win, isn't it?
Spartia! I hope he ran into the locker room yelling, "You like that?" Was that his big phrase?
Oh.
Isn't that his big phrase?
Yeah.
What?
He did it when he was with the Redskins.
Was he caught on mic saying it or something? And then
camera, yeah.
Okay.
Neat.
Well...
They made it into T-shirts and...
Oh.
Everyone was excited. Here he is.
Well, then it's official.
You like that? You like that?
He's yelling at me.
Chill.
Jeez. It's the game, my man.
Come up with something a little less annoying.
Go with a big one.
All right. So I read Leif Garrett's book. I saw it in the bookstore. Yes, people still go to bookstores occasionally.
Where? What
book? Ready for a bomb?
Books a Million.
Okay.
And yeah, there's plenty of Roland. I may get to Roland next time I bring this up because there's so much.
What the hell happened that night?
There's so much to talk about. Roland is his buddy, and Leif Garrett, who was a child star in the 70s, you know, of the most shallow kind you could ever imagine. In fact, you find out in the book that when he was live, which normally was karaoke plus him out there
looking cute,
exactly, and 13-year-old girls going absolutely nuts over him. There was a guy backstage, I can't remember his name, but he was singing, and Leif was singing on a lower mic.
Why didn't they just have a track of him?
I don't know. He couldn't sing, basically. He was a pinup star, you know, a child star in, I think, commercials, and then I'm not sure where he blew up. It wasn't from music, though. He was already a star. And he's got long, curly, blonde hair, and he's a good-looking kid, and, you know, all the girls are going crazy. And of course, he's fucking half of them. That's the funny thing you find out, is he's banging up a storm and partying up a storm. So at the end of this, oh, God, that song's so bad. That was his hit. That was a top 10 hit.
So bad.
He is partying up a storm in 1979, and he's with his friend Roland. And he crashes. He's driving. They're both fucked up. Leif crashes the car. Roland is paralyzed from the waist down.
Hold on to your dick!
So So Roland has to sue Leif. And
what the hell happened that night?
The weird thing was they said that when the suit came up that Leif said he only had $50,000 in assets. This guy just
a star.
Played sold out, you know, arenas and concert halls the world.
You know, they were ripping them off.
For like 4 years, and he had a top 10 hit, and he had records that did well. Yeah, he got completely ripped off. There was a record company that was set up just to take advantage of Leif Garrett called Scotty Brothers.
Cool.
And the two Scotty dudes really screwed this guy. And they drained him, too. It was like, all of a sudden, he starts doing shows. It's like, well, nobody's getting really excited about the music anymore. Not like they used to. And it's like, bam, over.
Oh.
You know, whereas now it never ends.
No. No, because he'd have an Instagram account. Yeah. And
he'd be a social media star, yeah, too. He'd be an influencer.
He'd be retweeting John Cusack's retweets. Actually, he probably wouldn't.
Anyway, and I find him likable. He's a likable guy as you read the book. But the thing about Roland is that after this whole thing, Roland sued Leif and the insurance company because Leif's net worth was only $50,000. Mm-hmm. This is right at the end of this incredible run where he's generated all this money. The insurance company ends up having to pay Roland $6 million or something. Wow. Some huge amount of money. So Roland is, you know, living on Easy Street.
Yeah, he said it was the best thing that ever happened to him.
He said that on Behind the Most, probably easily. The best Behind the Music moment if you watch the VH1 show. By the way, I'm watching a new VH1 show that came out that I completely missed. Reuniting the Band.
Oh, really?
Did you ever see that when it was out? I don't remember it either.
Sounds great.
It was like 2004. It was great. They reunited The Alarm. And I'd forgotten that Mike Peters of The Alarm, he actually quit the band on stage.
Who are they?
Yeah, and they hadn't spoken since in like 16 years or something. So VH1 goes around to these five guys. Hey, we want to do a one-night-only thing with The Alarm. Are you in? I mean, it's obviously not quite that simple, but pretty much. And they all said yes.
So they said, why are you asking me with a camera crew?
Name one other band that's done that.
Was this set up beforehand?
I honestly didn't think it was. It may have been. Oh, you know what? I really don't think it was because they tried to get Squeeze back together. I love Squeeze. Difford and Tilbrook and Jules Holland and fabulous band. And in the end, at the end of the show, they said, sorry, we couldn't get it together. Two of the guys just, you know, Chris Difford, or rather Glenn Tilbrook. Smack that vocal. Glenn Tilbrook just didn't want to do it.
No offense, but I hate this song.
This is the best-known Squeeze song, and it's
I didn't
not...
want to offend Drew by
hating
this song.
No, it's okay.
Is this Bands Reunited on VH1?
Okay, I can tell I'm going to get ragged here, but go ahead.
I'm just looking at the run
time. It's kind of a stupid... It was stupid, but I was amused by it.
It ran from January 2004 until January of 2006.
They couldn't reunite.
Yeah, they reunited some bands.
There weren't enough bands to reunite. It's a finite number.
Get this. They did... Remember the band ABC, The Look of Love, Poison Arrow?
Oh, yeah.
Poison Arrow. I actually liked ABC. They were kind of a new wavy band, and I love new wave.
They also reunited A Flock of Seagulls, Berlin.
These are all bands nobody wanted reunited.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Oh, well, except for that one.
But ABC.
Gotcha Goo Goo.
There was one guy who was like, so, I haven't played. I haven't had time to rehearse. Two of the ABC four guys couldn't do it, but the lead singer could, so they took him and the drummer and two other guys who weren't in the band.
Really?
I mean, it didn't seem much of a reunited ABC to me, but I was amused.
Oh, I forgot the other terrible song they did, or not as good song that they did.
Hated Zillionaire? Hated How to Be song. A Billionaire or whatever?
It was a big hit, I think.
Be Near Me?
He knows just how.
Wait, what track is this?
When Smokey Sings.
Yeah.
Maybe it just got played a lot here in Detroit.
It's not my favorite ABC song. I don't think they got played here. New Wave was ignored in Detroit. I don't know why. Oh, this is Be Near Me, isn't it?
No, this is When Smokey Sings.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible song.
Yeah, it should have been played here because it's about Smokey.
That's why I think it was played.
Smokey Robinson. Of All of My Heart was my favorite ABC song. That was classic.
Check out that winner.
Yeah!
I get to see you slow dancing to this.
Anyway, that was an amusing show. But what was
in Roland's book? Is there an index? Is he a Scientologist or was
there
he
is
ever-
not an index?
Leif.
Okay, I'll get to that. So, in
about him being a Scientologist, you'll get to.
Yeah, I will.
Oh, okay.
In 99, VH1 behind the Music was just rolling, and
it's got to be what he's best known for.
Yeah, I think it is now. I mean, with the younger crowd, yeah. if you're over 50, you might remember him as a teen star, as a teen idol. And, you know, there were so many of them at that time, too, like Bobby Sherman and David Cassidy and Danny Bonaducci. I guess he was in that category. But I don't think we had, like, do we have teen idols in the... Yeah, the Osmonds. The Jackson 5.
Jackson 5, yeah.
Do we have them in the 80s and 90s?
Well, you had NKTO.
Oh, yeah. New Kids on the Block, of course. Yeah, the boy bands. Okay.
I guess that's just what they became, were boy bands.
I know, which is grim.
There weren't so many in the 80s, though.
It doesn't seem like it, does it?
No. I mean, you had Duran Duran.
And then there's Bieber. Yes. And, you know, and Jessica Simpson and people like that.
Aguilera, yeah.
I mean, all those Disney people, Timberlake.
Ryan Cabrera.
He's still around.
Jesse, what was the other one? Jesse.
I love looking these people
Ray
up.
Ray from 90210.
Oh, Jesse Walter? Jesse Walter? Yeah, that big hit on 90210. He was on the reboot, too.
We've spent way too
much time.
Oh, my God,
these terrible shows. So anyway, back to Leif Lott. Leif Garrett, the teen star. He's in this accident. This guy's paralyzed. His buddy, he gets $6 million. So they never talk again because, you know,
don't talk to him because it's, you know, it's all the courts and the lawyers and.
So after 20 years, they reunite them on Behind the Music as if we really need to know what was behind Leif Garrett's music. It was terrible.
There's nothing behind. It's about the accident.
Actually, no, there was stuff to know behind the music, but the music didn't matter, so who cares what happened? Well, actually, the book's pretty good, so there was... Okay, I'll correct myself. There was plenty
behind the music. That's the coolest thing anyone's ever said to me.
So they reunite these two guys, and they both end up bawling.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was. It was quiche.
I'm going to see if I can find the full reunion.
Well, the funny thing was that Roland, of course, Roland rolls up in this expensive car, and Leif rolls up in, you know, something was probably bought in a used car lot.
He went through his hard times as well, but he said, you know what, I'm okay.
Ooh, Leif has to take a break.
Yeah, Roland said that it was the best thing that ever happened
days
to him.
After learning
getting
of his
paralyzed.
Leif and Roland were on
and
their
that's
way towards
my
their
favorite
first
drop.
In 20
that's
years.
Like the coolest fucking thing anybody's ever said to me, man.
I'm nervous. I think it's a really positive thing to
pause
be
for
doing.
A second. Okay, you think that, you know, I really need to face this demon, right? Yeah. Isn't that how to set it up?
Yeah.
Leif did it because he needed money for heroin. That's why he did the show.
Well, we all have different.
He admits it in the book.
We all have different motivations.
Yeah, whatever.
I like that they both dressed up for the meeting.
Describe what they're wearing.
Well, Leif's got the bandana on his head, and
he always had that.
Yeah, and sunglasses, and then Roland's just got some t-shirt on. I don't know.
Hey, man.
Leif just looks—he looks high. He looks wasted.
He is.
After 20 years of agonizing silence, neither Leif nor Roland knew exactly what to say.
20 years.
Leif didn't want to see him. They weren't that kind of friends, it turns out.
What's up?
So what's up?
Tripping. I'm nervous.
Sorry I got you paralyzed.
What's he supposed to say? What are either one of those?
Years, in between. I don't even know what to say.
20 years.
This type of conversation probably ran through my mind a million times by now.
But why? Not through late
at all. Yeah, no, I didn't think about it.
I couldn't sleep a wink last night.
Fake! Because I need heroin.
The question I got is, what the hell happened that night?
Pause for a second. Leif said, after the accident, and, you know, he knows this guy may not get feeling back in his legs.
Yeah.
They sent him to Japan, which Japan is going ape shit over Leif Garrett. And he admitted, and I appreciated him admitting this. He said, you know, it became the thing, party tonight, you know, get laid, meet a new girl. And the women were I mean, he just had a candy store of women, which I can't imagine what it's like for this poor guy now. No one will sleep with him now. Wouldn't it be nice if it worked the other way around? Anyway.
No, I don't know. He did really well when it mattered.
Yeah, true. Anyway, he said, after a couple months of getting laid, do the show, get drunk, take Quaaludes, do cocaine, that really kind of forgot about the accident. He said that. Jesus, he really sort of forgot about it. Well, then he had to go to court when he came back, and that reminded him. And then I think
we all grieve in different ways, Drew.
I don't think he gave it a lot of thought before this meeting.
He's probably hoping Roland was dead.
What the hell happened that night?
Which Roland is dead now, by the way.
Yes, he is. That was Roland saying, "What the hell happened that night?"
I have no idea.
That's Roland too.
I was outside the car, and you were still in the car. You were screaming at me or yelling at me, straighten my legs out. And they already were. I mean, I knew right away that something was definitely wrong.
Not awkward at all.
And I ran up the hill to use the call phone, called the police and ambulance.
And I went to Japan.
For the longest time, wanted to tell you that...
Sorry about that.
I'm so sorry that this happened. I'm really sorry that all...
20 years later.
This happened to you. And
I've been too busy scoring junk to apologize.
Ready for a bomb?
No, he's not, really.
You saved my life that night.
What?
You saved my life that night.
Yeah. Here it comes.
I don't know how you can tell me that incident changed you, you know, in your life for the better.
It did. It made me work really hard on who the hell it was.
Not to nitpick, he didn't say it changed his life for the better. Did he? He just said it changed my life.
He explained.
I said it. Go ahead. Let her off.
I said, I just jump into conclusions.
I would not trade places with you in that situation.
I wouldn't trade places with the men either.
$100 million, I wouldn't trade places with you in that situation.
About $6 million.
That's just like the coolest thing anyone's ever said to me.
There it is.
Didn't Saturday Night Live make you came in when I was in the hospital and gave me a radio? I still have it.
Life's like, what radio? I'm never giving you a fucking radio.
Can I have it back so I can pawn it for some heroin?
Yeah, that was some piece of shit promotional thing, and I, you know, they said I should bring a gift, and it was in the back seat.
My people send it over.
Well, I still have it.
I'm so sorry.
What a stupid present.
But it was
a great piece of television.
In the book, Leif seems to spend a lot of time pointing out that they were going to get drugs and they were lost. And Roland was going to drive, but Roland was more fucked up than Leif.
Yeah.
So in other words, Leif's
a hero.
Saying, hey, it would have been worse if he had driven. He'd have been totally paralyzed.
Neither one of us would probably have our legs.
He's lucky I drove or he'd be dead.
Nice excuse. Three times over the legal limit.
He's pretty fucked up.
I remember growing up in high school, we had a kid. He was kind of an oddball, and his name was Leif. And people used to tell him, why don't you make like a tree in Leif? And that was like the greatest joke back then. It really was.
Not so much today.
No.
I maintain that some of those childhood things that seem so simple, some of them really work.
Yeah. So was Leif a Scientologist? Can you just answer me that?
Okay.
Because he did the L. Ron Hubbard album.
He was. Okay, the story's going to get it. You're asking fantastic questions. And I'm going to do this
first.
What
I'm here for.
A fun, simple, and easy experience, all while saving you fat stacks of cash. That's what our friends and studio sponsors at DealsInAD.com are all about. Do you want to save time while saving money? Do you want to have fun while having a fantastic experience? Well, of course, yes is the answer. Do you want to visit Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram or Zot Ford or the best-kept secret in Detroit, Zot Toyota? Because that's where Thad Zot, Jeff Schneider, Todd Zot, and Steve Gabar take great pride in rolling out the red carpet to Drew and Mike listeners, all while making buying or leasing your next new or pre-owned vehicle the most refreshing thing you'll do in 2020. Go surf their ridiculous deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com, and then tell them that Drew, Mark, Trudy, Brandon, Zooves, any of us.
Did you see the Ram news over the weekend.
Dodge Ram.
Officially passed the Silverado. It's number two.
Wow.
People didn't think that would ever happen.
That's big news. I mean, around here.
Huge, yeah.
Luke Nowacki. There are wacky things going on. This Iran thing, for example, knocked the market for a loop.
Yeah, really did.
Is it still knocking it for a loop, or is it just for the one? I guess that we only had one day.
I think it was up Friday. Well, did it happen? I don't know.
Anyway, this is why I like having Luke on my team, because he enjoys the rough ride. He sees them as buying opportunities, or maybe selling opportunities. Maybe you've got a 401k you should be looking at. You know, should I give the 1%, the 2%? Do I give the max? Am I invested in the right things? Well, your age matters. Your goals matter. All those things. You should have a financial plan. And if there's kids in college coming up, that's what Luke's team does. They try to force people to sit down and come up with a plan that makes sense, that will make sense when you retire as well. A lot of years ahead for so many of you, hopefully. And Luke Nowacki would love to help you. 248-663-4748. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Separately owned other entities. Internal marketing. Names, product, services, reference here. Independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Okay. Leif. There's. We could do three shows on Leif.
He's fascinating.
Should we find him?
We can look him up again. He was a great interview.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good guy. I like him. I think he has great perspective on what's really been a pretty tough life.
I think we talked to him when he put out this song.
Lola?
Yeah. I think that's when we had him on. That part's a little weird. I mean, it's not bad, but it's hard to improve on the original.
Oh, my God. Oh! The great live version, too. Okay. On Scientology, when 1980 rolled around, there were a lot of celebrities. Scientology is kind of the new thing, like EST. Self-help was really big. So...
Oh, S, that's right. Yeah. Forgot about S. And I only know about S from the TV show The Americans.
Primal Scream Therapy. There were all, you know, everybody was into self-help. Well, not everybody.
That reminds me, whatever happened to Kabbalah?
You know, Mark, I thought about that because Leif in the book is saying, you know, I saw this person there, I saw that person there. He referenced, like, Sean Penn at the Scientology Celebrity Center. God. Brad Pitt, Juliette Lewis.
Well, she is a Scientologist, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're she right. Still she is. Still is, yeah. Tom Berenger, is he a Scientologist?
Really?
He mentioned
him. No, because nothing's happened to his career.
Anyway, a lot of people were trying it out. And yeah, Kabbalah was the same way. What? Why don't we hear about that all the time?
Remember every idiot in Hollywood had that red string around their wrist?
You know,
Madonna. Madonna should have to wear that forever now because she talked about it so much.
I think that's around the time I started getting so cynical about Hollywood. I just...
Yeah.
They're just so in love with themselves.
They are.
And they're so brilliant. But then again, yeah, I love movies. I love TV. I can't live without a screen.
I just don't want to hear him talk about religion.
No, I know. There's a lot of things I don't want to hear him talk about, to be honest. And they all think exactly the same. That's what really bothers me about Hollywood, because I've said it before. I cannot believe that everyone who lands in some good roles in Hollywood, you know, when they're 22, 23, as they're coming up, every one of those people thinks the same way. They're all on the far left, every single one of them. Are you sure some of you guys don't think a little more conservatively, but you got to fit in. You don't want to lose gigs. Like James Woods.
John Voight.
Does Tim Allen claim he lost some gigs?
Oh, yeah, that is show. But then it was picked up again right away.
Well, anyway, Leif, because he was so hot, and as he got on the older edge of it, he starts hanging out with some pretty major people, like Robert Downey Jr., who, you know, I've wondered this before. There's probably people who are 25 or 30 who just think that Robert Downey Jr. is a guy. Man, he's so together. He's always been together.
Yeah,
he's
Iron Man.
You know, I've seen him interviewed. He's so solid. He was so messed up.
Big time.
In his 20s. I remember, was it Saved by Zero in the 80s?
Less than zero.
Yeah. That was seemed like it was him because he was getting in trouble all the time.
Great movie.
It was a good movie.
Yeah. Weird Science.
It kind of holds up.
Wasn't he in Weird Science? Yeah.
He was in a lot of stuff. He was on SNL, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Which I completely
I couldn't tell you one thing he did on SNL, but yeah.
I couldn't either. But Leif tells a story, and Downey was into heavy drugs. I want to say, was he a junkie? Was he into heroin?
I don't know.
I feel like he was, or maybe it was cocaine.
There's an infamous payphone call he made. I don't know if that...
I don't think I've heard that.
Let me see if I can find it.
Somebody recorded a payphone call in the 80s?
Oh, boy. I'm really putting myself out there.
No, I mean, I remember a lot of... It seems like recordings, it was easy to have an infamous recording back then, like Casey Kasem, Ponderous, man.
Yeah.
Because well, they got out,
he's
everyone got
a recording studio then.
And it looks like his arrests were due to cocaine, heroin, marijuana.
All of them, all right.
Gun charges, so speeding.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a guy that would be carrying guns around. But anyway, Leif Garrett ends up partying hard with Robert Downey Jr. They're buddies, and Leif seems to fit in with a lot of different groups of people. Robert Downey Jr. and his wife, Debbie Downey, who I don't even remember. I don't know if she's an actress or not. I think they're divorced
and
he's remarried.
What an unfortunate name. It's too close to Debbie Downer.
I know.
Can't you go by Deborah?
I always love Debbie Downer. Anyway, Debbie Downey is in the bathroom for a long time, which at that party probably wasn't unusual, except they decide she's in there too long, and Leif, who seems more worried about it than Robert Downey Jr., Leif goes through a window and finds her on the floor, sprawled out, and she, I guess, is having, not spasms.
Convulsions
or something like that. So, you know, he wants to call 911 or somebody wants to call 911. And I guess it's like, no, don't call 911 because they'll come here. You know, because they're all fucked up.
And I'm Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, exactly. So they finally do call 911. They pick her up. Come on, Mr. Downey. No, I'm not going to go in the ambulance. I mean, he was just, he's probably doing so much blow. He was just at the peak paranoia. So he and Leif drive behind the ambulance.
Brilliant move.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And Leif, such a good driver, especially when on substances.
Exactly. As we know.
As we know.
This is after Roland, too.
He learned his lesson.
So Leif says that on the way there, Robert is on. Wait, what was he doing? There wasn't cell phones then. I guess he wasn't on the phone.
What year?
Robert had arranged. Oh, yeah, this could have been later.
Could have been on a car
in the 80s, I guess. Anyway, Robert had arranged a deal on the way to the emergency room.
Oh, score?
Yeah, score. Wow. Pick up some Coke.
Yeah.
And so they pick up some Coke and some beer.
Don't you think you'd want a sedative if you're going to the emergency room?
I know.
It's already quite tenses.
This will not be Robert Downey's favorite story that's out there these days.
Oh, I'm sure he can laugh at it today.
So anyway, they snort up the blow in no time, and then they get to the emergency room, and Robert asks Leif, can you go in there? Because I'm a little better known, and I don't want people, you know, hey, Robert Downey. So Leif goes into the emergency room and checks, and they tell him, oh, yeah, she's down the hall. I think she's stable. Where's her husband? He goes out, and he said Robert's face was like Pacino and Scarface, like just a big, just like a pancake face of blow. And he said he was holding out on me. Like, yeah, we killed all the blow, but I'll wait in here.
That's the real reason he wanted him to go.
He makes him sound like such an asshole.
Oh, man. Well, it was, we all react differently in times of stress.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Apparently, that can't be made enough.
Yes. We all handle things differently.
You know, and going back to Scientology briefly, there was a Scientology album, and Leif is on it because Leif was auditing or whatever and, you know, getting mixed up in this thing, which wasn't, it sounded to me, I think he was more interested in heroin than Scientology, to be honest. I think heroin won.
Yeah, better religion.
Which he might be better off, I don't know. Anyway.
Did you see who else is on the album?
Who else is on there?
Travolta.
Yeah. Oh, I knew Travolta was.
Goes without saying. And they did a song together. Travolta, Garrett, and Frank Stallone is on the album.
Wait, is Frank Stallone a Scientologist? I don't think he has enough money to be a Scientologist, because you've got to have so much money that you don't mind giving large sums of money and buying all their stupid books and, you know. I mean, they really soak people in that religion.
Who's David Pomerantz? Does that name ring a bell at all?
Yeah, it does.
He's got a song on
it. Was he in some... He must have been in a show.
Soft band or something, yeah. Chick Corea.
Oh, yeah, Chick Corea. I think she's jazz.
What a great album this was.
Well, Leif said that he's on the album. He says he remembers recording it, and I don't think he thought it was anything special. Is he on one track or two tracks?
He's on one. He's on two.
He said that because it was a Scientology album, they forced everyone to buy it in Scientology.
Did it chart?
And I don't know if it charted or not, but Leif really inferred that, yeah, I got fucked on that album because it had significant sales and I didn't get anything.
What if it's a cool album? What if we end up digging it?
Probably about as good as the Scientology channel, my God. How is Scientology still? I don't even know how they're doing it. How do they keep all those people off the internet Googling all the shitty things they do? Okay, sounds good.
A piece of shit.
I think they just have people intimidated, forced to be in there, and then they force their kids to be in there.
You can't get out.
When they're little, you can't get out. Yeah, you don't have the skills. They don't educate kids properly. So it's sort of a self-perpetuating thing.
God, what a cool gig if you can just make your followers buy stuff.
I know.
LRH is onto something, man.
Well, that he invented the religion for money. That's why he started it. He was a science fiction writer.
I kind of admire that.
Chris Farley comes into the book, and Leif, of course, is way into addiction at that point. And he walks in on he said a bar, and there's a back room.
Yeah.
Sounded like it was Hollywood. And he peeks in there, and there's a lot of strippers and porn stars and Chris Farley.
And Chris's face. You see his face pop up.
Chris Farley. I think there was someone else, too. And I think Chris's brother was there.
Best $200 I ever spent.
And Leif's observing this, and Chris Farley, I think, recognized him, or somebody told him. He goes, Leif Garrett, man, come on, party with us.
Wow.
And Leif said, at the time, he said, this is a little unusual, but he said, at the time, I was pretty sober, actually, but Chris was so adamant that I do a couple lines that I did, and he said, it ended up being an all-night thing, you know. Doing lines all night with Chris Farley and laughing his ass off.
Good blow, man.
And then he said he's at Farley's place, and at, like, I don't know, 9:30 in the morning, his brother comes flying in, like, opens the door. Chris, what's going on? Chris had to fly to New York. He was hosting Saturday Night Live that week.
Oh, it's blah, that one? Blah, blah, yeah, he went back to host?
Yes.
Oh, that was a disaster. That cold open was awful.
Well, I don't know if this is Monday morning or... But he was supposed to fly that day, and he had supposedly,
sucks.
I guess, writing sessions as soon as he got there or something. And they went up all night.
That's awful.
That was awesome.
Yeah, too bad.
What a mess.
And then
did Leif Garrett do that? If he was pretty sober at the time, did that just send him right back into it?
Probably.
Or did he, you know?
I think Leif's it sounded like Leif's sobriety was very much reliant on finances. If he had no money, he was sober.
Or most.
He had a $300 a day heroin habit.
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing he's still alive.
I know.
Especially if
he
got sober and was back on it, and then sober and then back on it.
Yeah, it's... I mean,
usually when people overdose because they get back on
it.
Right.
They go in and out and their body isn't used to the tolerance. Nicolette Sheridan was the last thing I was going to mention today, unless I come back to it. And... he meets her. She's 16. I think he was 17. And they just fell madly in love. And his mother agreed to let her parents agreed to let her move into his house.
Yeah.
because Leif's got his own house, which I think he said he bought from Nigel Olsen, Elton John's drummer.
Really?
Yeah. What? Got a studio. And
was she famous then?
No, she was not. And so, of course, she is, you know, completely enraptured with Leif. And there's a couple pictures of her in the book, too. She's, I mean, she is beautiful. I don't know. How old is Nicolette Sheridan? She's got to be in her 50s, right?
I don't know. Last thing I remember about Nicolette Sheridan was when she dropped her towel in front of Terrell Owens.
She's 56.
Wait, she dropped her towel or he dropped his towel?
Wasn't that the big controversy for the beginning of Monday Night Football? And because it was football and this was right after.
That was Nicolette Sheridan?
I thought it was.
I think you're right, Mark.
Remember that big
Brandon, can you find it?
It was right after, what's her name's boob? Janet Jackson's boob popped out. So then everyone's like, a naked white woman in front of a black man.
Well, he was pointing out, you know, that her career is just soaring as his is diving, you know, never to be resurrected again. But I was trying to think of what is Nicolette Sheridan doing now? I haven't seen her in anything.
No, this killed her off.
Is it like over?
Monday Night Football ad.
Oh, come on. Do they? I would think this would have been good for her.
This is supposed to be like Desperate Housewives.
Was she on Desperate Housewives?
What are you doing here?
Oh, okay.
Oh, my house burned down.
Oh, she's okay.
And I needed to take a long, hot shower. So where are you off to? Looking so pretty.
Baby, it's Monday Night Football. Game starts in 10 minutes.
Oh, you and your little games. I've got a game we can play.
Hey, this is Major. We've got Parcells and the Cowboys. And Donovan needs me.
Well, what about my needs? What about...
What a great actor, Terrell Owens.
Will you stop it? All of Philadelphia is counting on me.
Well, I can't help myself.
Well, his acting is great.
I love you, T.O.
Then how about you tell me what's buried underneath that pool?
You know I can't tell you that.
Then I got a game to play.
Terrell, wait.
Oh, her back.
Oh, hell. Team's going to have to win this one without me.
Oh, my God. Who watches this trash? Sex, lies, betrayal.
And that woman is just so desperate. Look.
I guess it was good at the time.
There was a huge problem with
I remember.
That.
I do. I remember thinking it was stupid.
What
too.
Was the problem?
Okay, wait. Hold on. Let's
because
go.
He wanted to
is
go
it because he's
her?
A black guy and she's a blonde white chick? Was
know.
That? I mean, people. It was terrible. I don't want to say why, but it was terrible.
She tricked him into missing the game.
At the time, the headlines were the Monday Night Football fallout, a deeper racial issue.
What?
But I'm stuck behind the paywall.
That's the internet telling you it's not even worth it.
From 2004, and they got a paywall in New York Times.
I know, they had a paywall in the Wall Street Journal behind the Matt Farley article, so I didn't get a chance to read it. Matt Farley emailed.
Oh, yeah. Good. Congratulations to Matt. Matt, the man who has written more songs than anyone in the world, including many you've heard on this show, such as Scarlett Johansson Farts.
Yeah. The toilet bowl cleaners. That's really his, you know, claim
was
to
it
fame.
Was it TBC that was getting most of the attention?
I think so. And we saw it because Billie Eilish, we were talking about it.
She's a huge fan.
Yeah. So he wrote, hey, Mark, I was very proud to see song titles like Fecal Matter on My Toothbrush and Poop in My Fingernails printed in the Wall Street Journal today. Pretty funny. And he sent a link, and I couldn't read the article. It's behind my paywall.
You know what is, to me, the dumbest paywall of all? I cannot get into an Oakland Press story. I mean, to save my life. And the only time I really, and I'm not knocking the Oakland Press.
Gary Graff, when you want to
Gary
read.
Gary Graff.
I have
and
a
also,
problem when I want to read his articles.
Pat Caputo usually has a good headline. I like Pat. Yeah. But no, the paywall. It's like, really? Wouldn't it be better for the Oakland Press to be read by more people?
You could just buy a subscription.
How many people are... No.
Or you could just,
no!
Or you could just copy the link and open an incognito window.
True.
Because that works for them, but doesn't work for the Post or the Times or the Wall Street Journal.
How many people are ponying up the 99 cents that they're asking for to remove the paywall in the Oakland Press?
I don't know.
I mean, do you think really many people are doing that?
This is how messed up the internet is. That would be the right thing to do, but we've been so spoiled by content. We're like, fuck you! I'm not paying you a cent to read your stupid story. It's really ruining everything.
We were talking about subscription podcasts, and someone said to me, as soon as you have a paywall, I'm done. It's like, you said you were P1. What's going on here?
I don't care. You can't give someone something for free for so long.
Yeah, I don't know how all these subscription podcasts that start as prescription podcasts, you're going to get so many less people right out the gate. But I guess the idea is, make them pay from the beginning or they'll think they don't have to pay for my quality content. I'm dying to know how many people are paying Todd Pettengill for that show.
Does he still have ads behind his paywall, too? Because I know if this went to a paid format, we would still have ads.
Of course
because
we would.
Because it works for the advertisers. Yeah.
Well, we'd have new like technical it. Needs to pay for. The paywall.
Right.
I know.
I'd rather keep
like
it
satellite.
Free. Yeah.
No, satellite had no ads.
Cable television.
Yeah, I know. The sales department always wins. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. At NASA, the sales department always wins. I don't know what they're doing.
Hey, why aren't our rockets just covered tip to tail?
They must not have a sales department.
Wouldn't that be great?
Well, it's government. So they just get these giant grants and then they're done.
Why isn't Musk doing it?
I would think SpaceX would, actually, loaded with ads. All the money he takes.
Why does NASA should do that, man? Come on, Trump.
I don't have a problem with that.
What about the missiles we're launching at terrorists? Can we put ads on those?
That could be a lot of fun. I want until
whoever is putting their ad on there gets attacked on Twitter. Dove soap, how could you kill a terrorist?
Oh, God.
Dove soap started World War III. Chick-fil-A?
World War III was
Middle East.
World War III was trending on Twitter all
the memes were hilarious.
I think a lot of it was tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, yeah.
Most of it was, but there was a lot that wasn't, too. Okay, so Nicolette Sheridan, she moves in with Leif. She's beautiful. I mean, gorgeous. Incredibly beautiful. And the thing that made me laugh, because he was with her for a long time, and she was, when they broke up, that's when he got into Scientology. Leif Garrett was so bummed out to be dumped by Nicolette Sheridan that he got into Scientology.
Oof.
That's how bad it is to lose. That's the problem with having a chick that hot. If you lose them, hoo-wah.
What happened to going to Japan and banging every chick over there?
No crowds.
Is my timeline
no
off?
Crowds to go to the arenas you're playing? No, I know. That's what's so weird is when it all goes away. And I couldn't help thinking about, you know, some of these influencers who once their boobs are a little saggy and the wrinkles.
No one goes away anymore.
Yeah, but, you know, we see a lot of those accounts. And I see them on Twitter where, you know, what's his name? Brandon, who's the one I always point out?
Jake Paul?
The comedian. No, Jake Paul is...
Dane Cook.
Oh, whatever happened to Dane Cook?
He's got like 3, 4, 5 million followers, and you'll see tweets where he's got like 50 likes. Lindsay Lohan, too. She has no engagement.
She's coming back to America. Did you see that?
Why was she on New Year's Eve?
I think she's friends with Andy Cohen or Anderson Cooper or something dumb like that.
Oh, God.
But she's coming back to the United States because she's managing her sister's career. And all I can think of is
she needs the 10%.
Worst manager ever. But
yeah,
but in a weird way,
manage her own life.
In a weird way, better manager than she had in Dina.
Yeah, that's true. Where's Dina Lohan?
At least Lindsay will open up weird doors, like for Andy Cohen.
There's just way too much Dina.
God, these stage
don't go away,
parents.
Man. I know. I want to be one.
Okay, two final things, and I'll be done with Leif Garrett. Nicolette Sheridan.
Yes.
Okay, so she moves out, she moves back in, she moves out. Leif is just banging everything in sight when he travels to do his shows. He's just nailing, and I think she is kind of loyal to him, kinda, maybe, sorta. Or he thinks that.
That is one piece of ace.
Anyway, he decides at some point that, you know, I banged 10 million chicks, and she's the hottest, so I got to have her.
Oh, okay. Well, he sampled a lot.
So he's in New Zealand shooting Shaker Run with Cliff Robertson.
What is that?
I have no idea.
Shaker Run?
It had to be straight to video if there was video at the time.
Oh my God.
Cliff Robertson.
Straight to Betamax.
And he rolls out the red carpet, flies her in first class, and you know, so on and so forth. Has a big meal, champagne, puts the engagement ring in the glass, and you know, will you marry me? And she says yes, and all right. And it's happily ever after. And these guys, I don't want to call Nicola Chirin a nympho, but she sounds like a nympho. There, he describes having sex at a Duran Duran show on the catwalk.
Wow.
He describes driving his mom, his sister, and Nicolette to some place in maybe it's Lake Tahoe, and his mom and sister are sleeping in the back seat, and Nicole sits on him.
Nice.
They have sex in the driver's seat.
That's pretty hot.
Now, we all know his mother and sister were not asleep for that.
Today they'd be filming it with his phone, posting it to his Instagram to make sure he has a job.
So anyway, about 2 days later, she goes home. They're engaged. He calls. She's staying with a girlfriend. I think it was Vicky somebody. And, hey, Vicky, it's Leif. Is Nicolette there? No, she's not around. Calls back a little later. Hey, is Nicolette there? No, she's sleeping. Oh, could you wake her up? You know, her door's shut. I don't think I should wake her up, you know.
No, I'm still sleeping. Man.
So I think he calls her the next day. Yeah, is Nicolette there? No, she's not here. Well, you know, are you telling her I'm calling? What's going on? She goes, I think she's over at Timothy's. Timothy? You know, Timothy Hutton? Timothy Hutton, the actor,
Yeah.
Who was pretty hot at that time. Because he did, he was the son in Ordinary People with Tyler Moore and Sutherland. I mean, that was a big movie. He was in a bunch of stuff. So, anyway, Leif, this is just so funny. His stupid career, although he makes fun of it, too. He tells him, I got an emergency at home. They're like, is your mother dead or your father dead? Because there's no other emergency you would be leaving the set for. No, just trust me. It's a real emergency. So what they do is they shoot him and they just say, all right, we'll shoot all your scenes in the next couple days and you can get the fuck out of here.
After all, it's just a movie called Shake or Run no one knows about.
Your career's so hot, I guess you can do stuff like this. Actually, his career was so not hot, they probably just rode around him and said, you get the fuck out of here. He shoots his scenes real quick, flies home, goes to where Nicolette's staying. Nope, not there. Goes to Timothy Hutton's house.
Wouldn't he just realize that the damage had already been done at that point?
He was engaged to her like 3 days earlier.
Well, I know, but if she's banging Timothy Hutton, just by the time you leave set and get there.
I think he had banged everything that moved in the meantime, so I don't know. Anyway, he knocks on the door.
He could have waited for a phone call.
He was dating Tatum O'Neal at the same time as Nicolette Chirin for a while.
He dated a few other girls, too. Justine Brooke Bateman, Shields. I think, after. Yeah, he only went out with her one night, I think.
No, he was with Bateman for like 6-7
years.
Yes,
Justine Bateman, yes. Yeah. Brooke Shields he went out with once, I think.
And
did he go out with Emmanuel Lewis?
Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin?
Yeah.
Really? Anyway, he goes to Timothy Hutton's house. Timothy Hutton answers the door. Hey, Leif, how you doing, man?
What an asshole. What a jerk. What are you doing here?
Leif blamed it on, he told this story about how, you know, once they decided they were going the distance that, you know, well, you know, you got to tell me everything. And he said, I spilled a lot of stuff. And I think she thought better of it after I told her all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyway, and she had, I think she might've done Sure Thing by then. The Sure Thing. I guess the Sure Thing was a big deal. I don't remember that movie very well. So anyway.
Yeah.
We gotta get him on.
Yeah, we should go for it.
Then we should tell him he should make like a tree in Leif.
Delivery worked better second time.
There was some music news. Talinda Bennington.
Oh yeah, Chester's widow.
Mm-hmm. She got married to a Los Angeles County firefighter.
Good for her.
Good for you. And I couldn't help thinking that you know, when's this guy gonna hang up his hose? I mean, she's a pretty wealthy widow.
Yeah.
Just one of his hoses, of course. And she's beautiful.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, my God, is she beautiful. In fact, I don't know why. I know why. I always lump her with Chris Cornell, Vicky Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Talinda Bennington wins the Suicide Widow sweepstakes.
Okay.
If there was such a, sorry. Oh. I didn't mean like that, but they're both beautiful. Look,
we don't want them to be in the sweepstakes.
Absolutely. But... Hey, I didn't put them in the sweepstakes.
When life hands you lemons, Brandon.
Rockstar wives are always top shelf. They're both really pretty. Vicky Cornell seems like she's really had a tough time.
They're making a big deal that she married this guy, Bennington, married this
firefighter
on her old anniversary of Chester. Like, she got married on the same day that she married Chester.
Oh, Bennington. Like she spaced it out and accidentally got married on the same day?
No, or that she did it on purpose as, like, she, I don't know, maybe she can only remember one anniversary.
She can only do vows on one day a year.
So then I read about it. They got married on New Year's Eve, so come on, give me a break.
Oh, God.
Who cares? What? A lot of things happen on New Year's Eve.
Why would anyone get mixed up in that? Who fucking cares? I mean, honest to God.
I'm mad at myself for reading the headline.
Who's mad? Rose McGowan?
Probably, yeah.
And then, let's see, there were a couple of things. Oh, the surviving members of Nirvana played together?
They did?
Yeah, and they played a couple Nirvana songs.
Who sang?
It was some... Okay, first of all...
I didn't know this.
Beck and St. Vincent.
Really? Yeah.
Sang,
she's solid.
I think on The Man Who Sold the Earth. Then the other one was Heart-Shaped Box. And
from the album titled Heart-Shaped Box.
Yes. Dave Grohl's 13-year-old Violet sang on that. I listened to about 30 seconds of it. It sounded okay. I mean, I would have preferred another vocalist myself.
Did Beck sing or did he just play?
It was a long shot. It looked to me like Beck was singing. It was a male voice, and I don't know why he was out there if he wasn't singing, because they had three guys. Yeah, I mean, it's online. Can we get a sample of it?
Didn't she play their songs for something else, or wasn't there some other show? Recently, and maybe Joe Jett played one of their songs, too.
Was it when they went in the Hall of Fame, maybe?
I think you're right.
Yeah, Joan Jett sang one. You're right, yes. Not the finest sound quality, but...
I mean, when they say reunion, isn't really just Novoselic feels like playing a couple songs?
There was a, well, isn't Pat Smear too?
But wherever Dave goes, Pat goes.
True.
That's Beck.
Yeah, I thought Beck sounded good on the other song.
Wow, what a great song. Cool.
It's pretty good, actually. It sounds good. See, I would expect at some point
there'd get off
that they would do a tour and they would find the right lead singer and go. I mean, so many of those bands have done it.
I don't think it'll happen. Why would?
Well, would you prefer the hologram? I don't think we want the hologram.
No, but I don't see Grohl wanting to do it when he can tour with the
I don't know.
Fighters.
He likes playing.
Novoselic barely ever wants to play. That's why this becomes news.
He's going to need some dough.
And Pat Smear was doing it too. So.
Yeah, but he could do Foo Fighters too.
Doesn't Dave do a lot of side projects?
He does, yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking about that music and thinking, God, isn't it weird that the Foo Fighters never play Nirvana music? They never play Nirvana.
They don't need to.
I know. You would just think it's once great. In a while for an encore, the crowd would love it.
Crowd would
if Dave down. Sang it, they'd love it.
I don't think he wants to.
No,
wasn't that
not.
The word in his book?
Yeah, I don't remember. I think he just was that was a chapter and
yeah.
He's got a great band. Doesn't need to. I was going to mention the Rod Stewart New Year's Eve brawl.
Where's the video? We know there's security.
Is there a video? Yeah, there's got to be.
They've already reviewed security cameras. So who's the person that's going to sell it to TMZ down there?
Yeah, let's go.
Because I want to see this brawl.
I know we got a boner line. How long's a boner line?
4 minutes or so.
By the way, the boner line number 209-66 boner. If you would like to leave a message. For us. And then I got some email on a number of things after the first show. And I realized, when I was saying we're talking about Uncut Gems, and I was asking, I was hoping a lot of people would email, and I did get some email, but I realized I don't give out the email address often enough. You can either go to mail@drewandmikepodcast.com or drew@drewandmikepodcast.com or Brandon at drewandmikepodcast.com, Mark, M-A-R-C, @drewandmikepodcast.com, Trudy, is it T-R-U-D-I? Yep. No, Trudy Dan?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah.
What was the feedback on that stinker of a movie?
I'll tell you in 2 seconds. I just want to finish up with the rock notes. Rod Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
This thing, I could so picture this. Okay, there's a private party. They aren't on the list, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're in some hotel, and they want to get in. And the guy tells them they can't. And Rod's 39-year-old son, Sean, who honestly I thought was like 20. I just remember this. I remember when he was like 20, 21 getting arrested. He just seems like he still would be because I don't know what the fuck he's done. Probably nothing. Anyway, he is like nose to nose with this guy, screaming at him, you know, almost immediately because, after all, he is Rod Stewart's son, Sean. I mean, can you imagine being screamed at by Rod Stewart's son? How annoying would that be?
What do you want to do, huh?
Wouldn't you say, aren't you Rod Stewart's son? Why are you yelling at me?
I've got nepotism power. So anyway, Rod ends up throwing a punch.
Yeah, in his chest.
What the fuck?
Chest punch.
Rod must have been so hammered. He was faces hammered.
And the kid shoved him too, right?
Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Where was his other, what's his daughter's name? The one that fell off the motorcycle?
Is that Katie?
Spread Eagle off the motorcycle.
Or any of his kids doing
Kimberly
anything?
Kimberly Stewart.
You know, honestly, I read a story about Rod's kids once, and they were all completely fucking off. It sounded like they all just lived a really good life and didn't do anything.
Yeah. Well,
you know. Rod didn't seem to have a problem with it.
Wait, he has a kid that plays professional hockey here.
Oh, Rod does?
Kid with Rachel Hunter's kid, yeah. Liam.
Hey.
Spread out. Probably sucks.
And then Meatloaf. Oh, Meatloaf.
Oh, no.
Meatloaf was giving some interviews.
How dare you?
And he said that climate change is bullshit and that Greta Thunberg is brainwashed. And he also had lost a lot of
Thanks
weight.
For checking in, Meatloaf.
I know.
Why?
Thanks for shaking things
we
up, Meatloaf.
Forgive you.
Why?
I don't know.
Where did this come from? Did he
tweet
this?
I should be back in school.
He also lost 70 pounds. He looks really good.
Really?
Meatloaf's 72. I thought he looked really good. And he also was talking. They were asking about when he was so heavy. And he said he got just as many girls when he was heavy. He was having threesomes in high school. I don't know if I believe that, but.
Looks like you're keeping your bod pretty tight.
Absolutely. So,
cool. I'm glad Meatloaf checked in on Greta Thunberg and climate change.
Why did he do that?
I don't know. Maybe he just saw a video of her and got mad at her. Yelling at everybody.
All right, Brandon, you want to, let's see. We do have a boner line sponsor. Nice. And that is our friends at... giving them an extra read because we read old copy the other day.
Pulled our site again, too.
Lover's Lane now has three ways to shop for all your sex essentials, 35 store locations, loverslane.com or the all-new sexdrive.com. Sexdrive.com features high-quality sex toys, vibrators, fun and exciting couples toys.
Great.
And the most erotic apparel anywhere. Try something new in the bedroom to celebrate the new year. Check out sexdrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane. And the boner line.
Happy New Year, Drew, Mark, Trudy, Brandon, Zooves. Looking forward to hearing your voices again on a new podcast. Hopefully you guys can cobble something together because it's boner time.
Hey, this message is for Drew. Just calling to see about those tickets. Tickets for the Red Chili Hot Peppers.
Who are they?
Just, I'm done with tickets after this. So that's good. That's two tickets. Red Chili Hot Peppers, okay? I need two tickets, and that's this. I don't give a fuck about tickets, man, all right? All right.
After this, I'm done with tickets. After this, I don't give a fuck about tickets.
I watched The Irishman. Drew, your assessment of the quote-unquote beatdown scene with De Niro was fucking spot on. That scene was more awkwardly funny than Tom Cruise playing catch in War of the Worlds. They should have used some of that CGI budget to make him look a bit more of a badass.
You want some too, old man?
Yeah, I'm calling to comment on some of the things that were mentioned on the
Friday show.
Okay.
There should be an alarm sounder for every time Brandon's got a hot chick on his screen.
He was always looking at his computer screen.
They do eat in Star Wars. Empire Strikes Back, Luke Skywalker and Yoda are eating in Yoda's little hut.
No!
And I think Drew says, by the way, a lot. Maybe it's because he doesn't take no orders from no woman.
By the way, I don't take no orders from no women.
The only thing more, I don't know if offensive or shocking, for Anderson Cooper using the word cock on TV is Drew dropping it about 467 times in a span of 10 seconds.
Talks like a truck driver.
Cock?
Mark, you were right on when you were talking about Quentin Tarantino and his foot fetish, like in Kill Bill when she's in the car trying to get her toes to wiggle. Pulp Fiction, when dancing with the bare feet. So if you go back and look at a lot of films, there's a lot of bare feet scenes.
He has a foot fetish.
My wife and I were at Pizza Hut, and they had like the oldest toilet left known to mankind, and it was one of those one-room bathrooms. So I go in there, and I shut the door, and I go to number two, and use a little too much toilet paper, apparently.
All right.
And I go to flush.
Sweet!
And the water starts going over the lip onto the ground. Well, I saw that wasn't going anywhere good, so I hurried up and got out, went back to the table.
Absolutely.
What happened?
That was the only way to go.
The table, I see that the water is coming out from underneath the door, and I'm telling my wife, we got to get the check. We got to get the hell out of here. And so what ends up happening is they can't get the toilet to stop running. They had to close the restaurant. It was a Pizza Hut in Roseville. And he had to close the restaurant. It was like 8 o'clock at night.
I shit, like, my brain's got into it, right? I came at this thing like an animal, man. And then I took a bunch of toilet paper. I jammed it in there so it won't flush. It won't flush.
Thanks for the recommendation on the Don't Fuck With Cats documentary. That thing took quite a turn on me. Wow.
Wow.
Highly recommended. Please keep up the good reviews.
I watched that. It's pretty amazing.
Drew posted 16 straight tweets about the NFL playoffs. Not a sports podcast. 16 straight tweets.
A man who don't know sports. He ain't much of a man.
Okay, so Tom doesn't like Jimmy John's douchebag that's a trophy hunter.
No.
But he has no problems with horse racing. And all the deaths that are caused by horse racing.
You like the horse? That's horse shit.
Yo, Drew Rock Dog, man. I'm getting hard listening to you talk about Primal Scream. Bobby Gillespie, their front man, is actually the original drummer in the Jesus and Mary Chain with the Reed Brothers. FYI, brother.
Who the fuck is that?
How does Mark not know what Canada Goose jackets are? They are literally the uniform of every University of Michigan student. Ever. I thought you were part of the cult.
Oh, and it's tighter than dick skin.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
How old is this kid?
And that's it for the day.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. That's a good story. I have so many questions about that Pizza Hut.
Well, maybe he'll email in and give us his phone number.
Can't you just picture that toilet?
Oh, no. The story is very credible.
And he did what he had to do. You just have to vacate at that time.
Absolutely. Oh. No, you have no options. He had one option, and he took it.
But isn't he kind of like the arsonist that shows up to the fire he started because he's sitting there eating his beans and just staring at
the What's he going to do? Go ask for towels?
No. And the people mop? That do that are weird. Yeah. Don't know.
No, that's showing up that you clogged it. That's someone who wants to clog the toilet exactly. So they can tell everyone they did it. Vacating is the only way.
It's all the water coming out.
I know. I really had a mental picture there. And
what he should have done is, can you box up my pizza? That bathroom, there's water coming out of it.
I can't be here. No, in fact, I don't even feel like paying for this dinner. This is terrible.
I want a refund.
That's water with fecal remnants in it. Jesus Christ, what kind of animals are you?
You should be happy I don't call the health department. I want three free pizzas, and I'll be back on Tuesday.
Guys, we have a situation. I broke the bathroom. We ran out of TP, so I had to use my shirt. Well, long story short, it turns out that pipes are not PVT compatible. FYI.
I love that guy.
You know, as far as, did you say Pizza Hut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they would have such a crappy bathroom in Pizza Hut.
Me too.
That always throws me when you go to a place that, hey, this is a chain. They got to have a nice bathroom here. And you go in there thinking, it's going to smell good. And it's like, what?
What was the last remodel of a Pizza Hut you've seen, though?
Well, that's true.
Been updated since, the mid-80s.
Probably means that the fact that this Pizza Hut has such a terrible bathroom probably means millennials don't like Pizza Hut.
No, they just like it when they're in combination with a Taco Bell.
Key you.
I'm sick of combination restaurants.
I know. I hate that too. It's like, what are you? Are you McDonald's or a country store?
Stay in your lane. Keep your mind. It's like, and so at, is it Southfield and 12 Mile? There used to be Tim Hortons / Wendy's.
Yes.
So the Tim Hortons, I don't know what's happened, but all the Tim Hortons in that area have gone poof. Like the franchisee just got his stores yanked from him. So they've closed down. So now it's just,
I was
to Wendy's with an empty Tim Hortons.
Oh, that's terrible. It's like, oh my God, Wendy's is going downhill. Look, that whole room, they just shut it off.
It's like they had a bad divorce.
I never know which store I'm in exactly.
No, it's weird. And the drive, trying to figure out a drive through. No, thanks.
And can you just take your food into the other store? What if you see something in the other store that you want to buy? Are you allowed to go to McDonald's and order while you're holding it?
Great point. Why can't you order from the other drive through if you're in the one drive through lane? I don't understand.
It's very complicated. I don't know who
go around to the other side of the wall and ask for a single.
But as far as
restaurant chains, I never heard of.
I don't think our boner line caller was feeling terribly guilty, and he shouldn't, because this is the best thing that could have happened to Pizza Hut. Now they have to replace the old bathroom. Toilet, yeah. Unless they want to, see that water creeping under the door over and over. It probably wasn't the first time. If he had told, they probably would have said, it happens every night.
See the poor people that came in the next day with that carpet still kind of wet, and they have that fan that's just blowing on it.
Oh, man. I know, living in Michigan, seen a lot of that. And by the way, Twitter is... Now, who says I can't have... I don't know, my Twitter isn't a sports Twitter. Why do people do this to me? Why do I have to be pigeonholed?
I know you had a quota that you couldn't go over in your tweets of the game.
There was, let's see, I guess we should just do the boner line because I did the read for Lover's Lane anyway. Oh no, we did the boner line. That's right.
Did you want to see Merv Griffin's kid?
That's what I was getting at. Yes.
There was a 20, I don't know, maybe it was just an ABC special on Thursday night. And I kind of ran into it. I didn't even know about Jeopardy because tonight being Monday night, they have it's Tuesday night, the Battle of the Champions. Which,
right.
I gotta say,
which
those three are getting off on this, by the way. Ken Jennings, Brad Rutter, and who's the other guy? Jeopardy James.
Well, we all know that Ken Jennings developed quite an ego based on all the books he wrote. And, personally, we know it. And then also because he copped such a tude when we had him on for Stump Ken Jennings.
He did.
Our audience started asking insanely deep questions, and we called him a whiner.
Well, that's right.
I thought you were the Jeopardy champ, Jennings. He's like, nobody knows the answer to that. It was funny.
He left
pissed.
The other one who got mad about that was, do you remember Howie Schwab from Stump the Schwab on ESPN?
Yes.
He got really pissed because they were impossible questions to answer. But they were all screened.
Well, don't come on there. I'm claiming to be an expert if you're worried about getting stumped.
All three of them were on this Jeopardy special about like what happened to them, how they're doing. And, of course, Jennings gets to be a writer now. And Jeopardy James just won. But Brad, who nobody really remembers, but won the most money. I think he won over $4.5 million.
I don't remember him at all.
Is now an actor / producer in Hollywood.
What? Really?
That was his description of himself.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I want more information. But anyway, so they're doing a special about this thing?
Yeah, they did an hour-long special just on Jeopardy. It was kind of interesting to see how they do the questions and the filming and the taping of it. Which
isn't this really the...
Goodbye, Alex Trebek.
Yeah, tour. The Alex Trebek is dying tournament.
Yeah, and of course, they sent their best journalist to talk to him about that, Michael Strahan.
Oh, no.
I was Trebek.
Oh, no.
I'd be a little pissed. Like, really?
Strahan?
Strahan to interview me? You can't send...
You
Robin Roberts.
Swing TJ for the night.
I would rather have TJ.
Robin.
Or Wit.
So how did Strahan do?
Fine, I guess. But he does the voiceover for the other parts, and it just sounds really silly when you have Michael Strahan and just doing this lisp
right.
Narration. Often does. So they talk about the song, that Merv Griffin wrote, because Merv Griffin started Jeopardy, brought it back, made a ton of money on it, and... Who else could talk more about Merv's involvement with the song than his kid, who I grew to absolutely hate in about 5 seconds?
His kid?
Yeah.
Wait. They had his kid on the special.
Yeah.
Because Merv can't be here?
Yeah, well, he's dead.
Nepotism is just...
I know.
New levels every day. In fact, I meant to tell the Who Are These Podcast guy, and thanks again for the plug, that they should do a whole Who Are These Podcasts and, you know, rank the most horrific nepotism in these podcasts. Have you noticed how many people's wives are suddenly like, and this is not to pick on this guy, but remember Mark and Brian in Los Angeles?
Yeah, it was a big very show. Successful.
Yeah, they did great. They really did.
National TV show for a while.
They damn sure did. And they, I think they were tired or they were let go. One of those, you know, sort of like us. Not exactly. I think it was worse, actually, because they went to a couple other stations, and then I think they called it a day, and maybe one of them is still doing something. And the other one, I don't know if it's Mark or Brian, is doing a podcast with his wife. And it was like, oh, Mark of Mark and Brian, or Brian of Mark and Brian, and I popped it on.
Is his wife anybody? Is she a comedian?
Mark, I just didn't like the show very much, can I say. It wasn't, I don't think it was really meant to be like Mark and Brian, but I'm just hearing
for her
people's daughters, you know, Tom Bernard in Minneapolis.
Oh yeah, he was a really good guy.
I don't know Tom.
He was a very successful guy.
Oh, very successful. Yeah. Extremely. Still is on the air. Has been since 86 or something. And he's probably close to 70. Anyway, he has a daily podcast too, and his daughter is on.
Well, you know, I do those 5-minute podcasts with Charlotte, so
it's true.
Yeah, that's true. That's
nepotism at the Red Shovel Network.
Not sure Charlotte would have won that role if she'd been properly
interviewed.
Yeah,
is the equal opportunity
involved?
She's copying a tude, by the way. She won't come in and do anymore. But I think she's hanging it up.
This is why I'm really pissed, is because I know that they didn't have this brainstorming and go, you know what? Yeah. We've got to get someone from the Griffin family. We must. Because nobody will fucking know who it is. And
there's two things he says in the piece that just really kind of piss me off.
Did they ask him about Merv being a closet homosexual and hitting on Danny Terrio in purple panties, according to Danny Terrio of Dance Fever?
At one point, they go to...
I think they left that out.
They go to Tony Griffin's storage unit with all of Merv's shit in it. And all I can think of is, I wonder if those purple panties are filed away in one of those files or any of the stories about the lawsuit filed against him.
I don't know if Danny Terrio ever won any money, but he insisted it happened.
And that's why I think they got Tony Griffin on here, because, you know, who cares who can actually tell the story about it?
It's because
Tony
himself
can talk about how much money he's
making. But Tony's got the piano behind lock and key, and I guess they just wanted a shot of the famous piano.
Nobody wanted to see Tony Griffin, but Tony Griffin wanted to see Tony Griffin and Tony Griffin's kids.
I wonder if he produced the show.
Here,
if he gets production God. Credit. Even dogs they're talking about the stupid
that song.
It is iconic music. My father always claimed that little tune that he wrote for Jeopardy is as popular and as well known as Happy Birthday.
It's not.
It's not. It's played on national television every night.
Merv Griffin, but it's not as popular as Happy Jeopardy. Birthday.
Little conflict of interest there, Merv.
As well.
Putting your song on your show.
Sure enough, someone.
It's not that special.
Look at he's doing an interview with 5 Emmys behind him, none of which he won.
Wait, no, that's not
it. It's on national TV every night!
8 million viewers a night they get.
These people could do the Chili's jingle!
Okay, great.
How adorable.
That's the first lie.
Jeopardy has actually established a measure of time. There was the hour, there was the minute, and now we've got the Jeopardy song 30 seconds.
There's also the Jackson 45.
You've never had a TV. You don't even know what the word Jeopardy means. If you've never seen a picture of Alex Trebek.
Chris Conley just wait around for ABC
song,
to
go,
interview
the Jeopardy song.
I think so.
The official title is Think with an exclamation point. And it was born in 1964 when Merv Griffin was headed out the door.
He catches himself lying.
He was going out with my mother, and he had a piano that Marlon Brando gave him when my dad was single. And Marlon Brando happened to be living in the same apartment building and said, hey, Merv,
just drop some names, why don't you?
To me. You know, so he gave
so
it
he could
to
do
him.
His Brando
you
impersonation.
You heard that.
Oh, geez. Wait, Marlon back that up. Brando. Did he impersonate Brando?
And
I missed it.
He said, I just have to sit for just 1 minute before I was single. And Marlon Brando happened to be living in the same apartment building and said, hey, Merv, I think you might use this more than me. You know,
terrible.
So he gave it to him.
You heard that. Marlon Brando.
And he said, I just have to sit for just 1 minute before we leave for New York. And it took him a minute and 30 seconds to write the theme for Jeopardy.
On Marlon Brando's old piano.
Could you drop the name of someone under 100?
In a minute 30 for a 30-second song. Yes, he did. and he played it for me. And I said, wow, that's great. I was 4 or 5, but
oh, you remember that, do you?
He doesn't Here remember that. That's why he said, oh, or five. Maybe, maybe, maybe does 5-year-olds remember things? Maybe 15. And a 4-year-old would say, wow, that's great.
You hear it in everyday conversation. Some people will be talking.
Yeah, because the guy that owns the show selected it. Person isn't able to come up it was nepotism. They didn't ask anyone else to do it, to do a better one.
Yeah, okay.
I've done that. I'm guilty.
It's a catchy tune. And
anyone that does that's kind of an asshole.
Why is Trebek kissing the little Griffin kid?
It makes ass.
Oh, here you go.
How much money?
I do know how much this 30-second song has amassed over the years, but I'm not telling you.
What is millions? What is tens of millions?
Yeah, that's accurate. Upwards of 80 million.
I thought you were going to tell us, Dick.
Over the years.
Wow.
$80 million.
When people say, I'm not going to tell you, and then they tell you.
You really worked hard for that $80 million,
dude. Shitty storage unit of Merv stuff.
Jesus.
5 and 2 storage lockers.
He took them to the storage unit.
They really don't give a crap about his crap.
Piano.
Look at all that. Look at that room.
My father wrote the.
Play it, Tony.
Did this guy demand 10 minutes of the show? Please don't tell me some editor chose to leave this much shit in about Merv's kid. No one even knows who Merv is anymore.
Jeopardy is so successful.
I bet you have the time they're with them. They just pretended the camera was on. He's probably, don't you guys want to turn those lights on for the, oh yeah, yeah, that's right. But we need better lighting because they didn't even have that on. Has he ever done anything? Has anybody ever heard of this guy?
No. I can comfortably say he's done nothing. But hang on to his dad's cash.
$80 million at least just from that song.
What is it? Does he have a... Don't tell me Tony Griffin has a Wikipedia page. Does he?
Not that I see.
Good.
He got an IMDb.
Oh, he had
a Jeopardy?
Probably when he's a kid.
I mean, it looks like he... Yeah, it looks like he
does even anything after Merv died.
Apparently, he was a guard in Spaceballs.
Ooh!
Guard.
Hey, I'm sure he earned that.
Great flick.
He went in there and said, I'm not Merv Griffin's kid.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm Joe Blow. I want this job on the merits. I want to be a guard.
Popped in on Coach.
Coach. What was he in Coach?
What, is Tony Griffin?
I don't know.
Okay, I think we know all we need to know about Tony Griffin.
He's rich.
But
he's rich.
A big Jeopardy battle Tuesday night. Pumped.
Is it? Did you say that's an hour and a half long?
It's an hour long. I don't know if it's multiple nights, though.
Okay.
Between those three. The Golden Globes are tonight, so.
Oh, that's right.
I've never hoped for, like, quadruple overtime more in my life. Because the Globes are after the last football game, which is on right now. And are they really going to hold up Hollywood, or is Hollywood going to be dicks and just start?
That's really funny. No, football wins. Football wins.
No, don't get me wrong. NBC won't cut away, but will they just start the Golden Globes and then run it on tape delay or something dumb? There has to be a contingency plan.
They wouldn't dare, like, say, okay, football's on MSNBC now. Bye.
No. There's no way they would do that.
They won't.
No, but would the Globes just, do they start at a set time and they just blow off all the other stuff?
I don't know. These are great questions.
Please, quadruple overtime.
See, I'm with you. I'm so pumped to root for a tie. Brandon, get us out of here.
That'll be the best.
Oh, boy. Hey, I wanted to ask people, because a bunch of people are listening to Who Are These Podcasts Now, and I'm hearing back from you. Go ahead and rate the show, if you can, on Who Are These Podcasts. You can mention you heard it on our show, just so we get our proper due.
Listen to their show, too. It's good.
What's that?
Listen to their show, too.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I mean. Those of you who are listening to it, because a lot of people are getting junked out on it. It's a really funny show. If you like hearing people rag on other people's shows, it's very funny.
Give them a 5-star now, and then when they completely destroy our show, go back and give them a 1-star.
Yeah.
All these, I can't believe these people. By the way, they were talking about Opie again. They love Opie.
Oh, yeah.
They love going back to Opie. Opie did an Instagram where he tells Joe Rogan that he sent him a text message and an email, and he hasn't heard back from him. He wants to get him on the show when he comes to town. And then he does another Instagram, kind of like, Joe, why didn't you get back to me?
Really? No. It's like a girl that doesn't get a hint.
I guess it's like a year ago, but he went on Anthony's show. And I don't think I'll be ever heard from, but it was like, what? Are you kidding? Why would you do that on Instagram?
I wouldn't.
I know, so I'm hearing a lot of bad radio, a lot of bad podcasts, but I'm enjoying myself. And let's see, what else is going on? Is there any other business we need to take care of before we're done?
No, for us, no.
Okay, Trudy will be here tomorrow. And
Golden Globes. Gary Graff. Oh, Weinstein's trial starts tomorrow. That's
oh, wow. Gary Graff, too.
Okay.
All right, well, see ya!
What about the paywall?
Not yet.
Hey, will we get the USA Today tomorrow?